Hello, Happy New Year. Welcome to today is Thursday, January 9th, the Morro Bay Tourism Bureau meeting. It is 9:04 for the record, and I will call this meeting to order. We will go straight in and open up for public comment. Please state your name.
Good morning. I'm Johnny Biagini of Biagini Marketing Strategies. And Happy New Year to you. I have a couple of things I'd like to talk about today. One is I want to thank staff for sending out the e-blast to the database this past month regarding the specials on the website. However, I'd like a couple of modifications. One is I think the email was way too long. People don't read it when they're way too long, and the reason it was too long was because all of the specials were listed again when I think it could be shortened by just having a mention of the specials, maybe some sales copy, and then a link to the website that has the page that has all the specials on it. I think that would be much more relevant to the people reading it. Secondly, I'd like to see that email be sent from an email address that has the URL in it, such as info@morrobay.org. It currently is sent from Karen at cmorrobay, whatever that email address is. And since that person is not currently employed on a regular basis, and I don't think it should be attached to a person to begin with, I'd like to see that change as well. And I think having that URL with the website address in it is key to continuing the branding. Secondly, and I sent you an email last night regarding a missed opportunity for advertising in the Bay Area, which I think is a key market for Morro Bay. The Visit San Luis Obispo County organization produced an advertorial that appeared this last weekend in the San Francisco Chronicle. It had advertising in it. The opportunity is that was missed is that there was no advertising from Morro Bay in it. So I inquired as to why that was the case, because I don't remember ever receiving information about this opportunity. And I was told that opportunity was brought up at a board meeting at Visit San Luis Obispo County, that the board reps then went back to their jurisdictions and their constituents to inform them of this opportunity. Obviously, our board rep either didn't feel that this was an important opportunity for us, or secondly, was not in attendance. In either case, we missed, I think, an opportunity to showcase Morro Bay and its businesses. I do think, yes, the Visit San Luis Obispo County organization should be the one to inform all of the members, and I have mentioned that as well to them. I think it's their duty. But secondly, I think our board reps should also bring back opportunities to the stakeholders in Morro Bay. This just emphasizes how important it is to fill this position as quickly as possible with a very qualified person. Thank you.
Any further public comment? Seeing none, I'm going to close public comment and move on to board announcements. Jane Beeman.
I just want to wish everybody a Happy New Year. It's nice to see continuing faces, new faces, and also congratulations to the Morro Bay 50th for the first event of the year.
Alex?
No.
Jane, or Joan.
It's all those through San Francisco Chronicle, on Google Alerts. It was picked up in the Tribune, KSBY, was all over the place for the first day, and Judy Salamaca covered it in the Tribune, Neil Farrell in the Bay News, and on the day of, I'd like to thank Carla's Country Kitchen for all the complimentary cookies and hot cocoa for the folks who came out of the Polar Bear Dip and came up to hike with us. And Sweet One Gallery, Bill Shuchek and Gary Johnson for all the photography. I should tell you that Morro Bay wins. Our 150th combination hike, our 50th 150 hike, had the most participants in the entire state of California. And we had 135 participants down there. And we think that our first hike along the California Coastal Trail can grow. And we're going to do a repeat next year. So we hope you get on your tennis shoes, or it was such beautiful weather, everybody took their tennis shoes off, and most of us were in bare feet. So let's hope for a repeat. The weather certainly didn't hurt. And then I'd just like to announce that this weekend, Saturday night, is the 50th anniversary kickoff dinner. And if you haven't got your tickets, you better hurry, because it's almost a sellout at this point. Chamber's likely going to sell out those tickets today. It's going to be a very successful event. It is a self-sustaining event, meaning no taxpayer funds go to that event. The price of the ticket is sustaining the event and providing funds for future events. Thank you. Happy New Year.
Karen?
Yeah, I just wanted to mention that the board, executive director, and marketing team have been working very hard on an upcoming presentation for this Tuesday, January 14th, City Council meeting. It will encompass, I believe, the marketing plan, media plan, financials, kind of a recap of what's taken place in the past year, how the money has been spent. Very important, probably, for stakeholders to attend this meeting, and I think it might be a good idea maybe even to get an email blast out to stakeholders to make them aware of this, because not everybody has the time to tune in here. So very important, Tuesday, City Council meeting, January 14th. And great work, I think, with the meeting. I know it's been, the organizers, it's been a lot of work.
Nick? Yes. January is restaurant month, so just wanted to let everybody know to look for specials at local restaurants during January, so keep an eye out for that. There's some advertising in the Bay News on that also.
Okay. Okay, moving on. Oh, yeah, sorry. Yes, go ahead. Joan has one other thing to come
AGP, back. Can you give us a screen, shoot the screen up there to the camera, the whatever that's called, the overhead? Move the camera to the overhead. Morro Bay Merchants Association had a meeting yesterday, and they just asked me to announce this wonderful advertising opportunity for our local businesses. And I actually think it's something that the Tourism Bureau should do as a destination for our local stuff. This is a fabulous media deal. It is 75 for Morro Bay businesses. It is, if they get 10 businesses, it's $75 a month for 6 months. They will come out and do the creative on a 30-second commercial for your business. They just did one for Giovanni down at Giovanni's Fish Market, where they use GoPro cameras to dive into the fish tanks to see the crabs. It's really a spectacular deal. $75, they do the creative, they run it for 6 months, they link it to your website, and they put it on their Charter Communications website. I think that there's opportunity with the restaurant thing that Karen is putting together and the shop local that she's put together for maybe our destination to do it for $450 for 6 months. I think this is a killer idea and a great thing, and it shows you the flight dates and all the information is here. And I encourage local businesses to call Sandy Cribb. Her number is on there, was on the other side, but I'll read it. It's 805-235-4878. She's really awesome and super nice, and she's willing to totally work with you, even if you've never done any advertising before. She'll help you with all your creative. She's really darling. She says, if you can think it, they can do it. So I encourage us to really look at this Charter Media deal. This is an incredible, incredible deal. So, and I encourage all businesses to look at it, and I want to thank the Merchants Association for bringing that forward to us.
Thanks, Joan. Okay, any other board announcements before I forget anyone? Sorry. Okay, we're going to move on to approval of the minutes. So has everybody had a chance to take a look at the approval of the minutes? And then I'd look for a motion.
I'll make a motion. We approve the minutes from December 12th.
I'll second.
Any discussion? All in favor? We're great.
Happy New Year to you. First of all, I did just want to address in public comment the advertorial that came out in the San Francisco Chronicle was a very last-minute opportunity. So the way their timelines went, we gave them a very small amount of time. We gave them the contacts to reach out to folks. So I wanted to let you know what our role was in that. And although it was a very fast thing, you will find that it was centered primarily. What we found out was the advertorial was written before the advertising actually, before they began soliciting advertising. So it was kind of it wasn't a completely cooperative aspect because we found out it after the fact that the advertorial was already put together. So just some more context, we can continue to talk about that. I realize that's not the agenda item right now. So last meeting, I think it was November, we discussed the sustainable funding model that Visit San Luis Obispo County is looking at. We requested your support of having representation on the task force, of which Joan Solu and John Myers are your representatives on the task force tag-teaming that approach. We have continued to make quite a bit of progress. I met with Joan and John in December to really discuss some of the specific points to Morro Bay. In the meantime, what the task force has been working on is if there was an additional 1 to 1.25% BID on countywide, how would those funds be utilized? And what I've just handed out is the framework of the marketing plan that John Myers was involved with the task force meeting on Tuesday to review this. And I think what I'd like to do is start reviewing a couple of those items with you, and then we'll get to some of the specific points and, of course, answer your questions. So this will be presented at our Tourism Vision Workshop in a full presentation model that's currently being prepared. That will be next Friday, January 17th, at the Performing Arts Center between 1 and 5 p.m. I invite you all to be there. It will be a very dynamic day. We've got representatives from Visit California presenting. We have a group out of Portland, Oregon coming called the Caraggio Group that will address, actually, when we get to objective number 2, what a process might look like in terms of truly collaborating the whole county under a collaborative marketing aspect. So to look at a couple of the key points with the marketing plan, what we have started the strategic marketing overview. We're calling ourselves right now Visit San Luis Obispo County Tourism Marketing District, just because there are so many BIDs. We thought if we were a TMD, that might help us in terms of our clarification with all of the BID partners. So that's just for semantic purposes at this point. Vision, mission, and core values, which has been vetted through the task force. You will see very clearly our mission statement is to increase tourism revenue by positioning, branding, and promoting San Luis Obispo County as a preferred destination for regional, national, and global visitors. That is what we will work on every single day with increased dollars putting towards this effort. You will also see in our core values, economic growth is the number one core value that the task force asked to be noted here, with collaboration as the number 2. Again, to keep things moving, I'm not going to read this word for word for you, but as we move into the goals of the marketing plan, it's very clear there are 2 goals. One is to increase demand of the SLO County destination, and the second is to increase awareness using our suite of marketing tools. The opportunity we believe here is to streamline our efforts with the hope of increasing the overall share of pie. When we look at our competitive set, we're not looking at our competitive set that we're competing within the county. We're really saying, how do we grow more market share for all of us, all community partners, against our competitors of Morro, the county of Morro, the county of Monterey, the county of Santa Barbara, the county of Sonoma, the county of Napa? How do we bring more of those folks that are choosing those destinations over our communities and then working in concert with you, determining how they get to the individual communities, with the goal ultimately putting heads in beds, increasing revenue. So you'll see that theme kind of throughout. If you take a look at page 2, you'll notice our 3 key objectives for the marketing plan. The first is to expand the Visit San Luis Obispo County brand to accelerate the destination's competitiveness in California, reach new domestic markets, and build upon international markets to bolster tourism for the destination. This very clearly outlines what I just had mentioned. The goal here is to increase that share of pie, not only within our drive market, which is very, very important to us, but also those U.S. Domestic markets and the international visitor that we know is coming up and down here every single day. How do we pull them off and increase that average length of stay here in San Luis Obispo County? The second objective that this plan will work towards is to manage the Visit San Luis Obispo County brand platform. We will lead the integration of a countywide strategic plan, working in concert with community partners to reduce duplication of programming, increase efficiency, and maximize effectiveness of resources to increase the overall reach. And the third objective is to create industry resources, those may be in addition to business and leisure travelers, and position our county as the go-to destination. Work with tourism partners, meaning our hoteliers, our wineries, transportation companies, community partners, so on and so forth, to create top-of-mind awareness for San Luis Obispo, bringing new opportunities and increased market share. We want to build upon the marketing toolkit using innovative, technology-driven tools to reach proactive communications and outreach to ensure unified messaging for our inspirational brand appeal. We want to integrate our group and leisure sales outreach with shoulder season promotions and our film commission to position and expand upon midweek and off-season business, and create an industry suite of resources. Back to that research, education, and communication to position our county as the tourism leader against that competitive set that we've mentioned. A lot of people say, well, how would you spend the additional dollars that could be created? If you simply flip to the back page, again, there are details here that you can look at. This is very much a work in progress. It's an opportunity to get your dialogue. But what this back page really shows is what our current spend is in various aspects of this plan and what an increased spend with an approximate $3 million budget. That's a number that we just started with in order to look at what the allocation of funding might look like. The biggest area that would be new would be paid advertising, which can include digital, print, and broadcast. Mm-hmm. That would be over a third of the funds would be put into a paid advertising campaign. That would work in cooperation with our digital marketing aspect, which is fully optimizing our website, social media, and all digital marketing tools, event marketing, media and public relations, group and leisure sales, and you can kind of see how the outline would be there. Again, this is really designed as a way to start the conversation to ensure that that we are spending the dollars in the best minds of constituents. A couple of other updates that the task force will be moving into at their next meeting, which is next Wednesday, January 16th, is to look at the board makeup. I think one of the questions that was addressed at the last meeting, we spent quite a bit of dialogue. How do we ensure that everybody would have a voice and a voice on this new board? And so our consultant, John Lambeth, with the Civitas Group, will be here next Wednesday. That is going to be one of the key things we're going to address. Also, your task force members brought up the Brown Act, and how do we best work with the Brown Act as we move into the potential opportunity here? And so that's a question that we're also going to be working through with the task force. So board representation, so how does Visit San Luis Obispo County as it currently exists evolve into what this new tourism marketing district may look like, and how do we ensure that representation? So I don't have that answer for you today, but I did want to let you know that that is a current work in progress and going to be a key next point. Mr. Myers, do you have any additional inputs?
Yeah, I'd just add a couple of things. First of all, thank you for coming out today. The marketing plan, you can see the draft of that is getting fairly well advanced. We thought it was important that Stacy come out. This has been a big question of this board. Where is the money going to be spent? What does the marketing plan look like? So we brought it out right away so you could take a look at it and start to see where it's going. So thank you for that. Number two was the structure of the board. If I heard anything at that meeting, it was concern from all the constituents there that represented at the meeting that they all have real concern about how this board is going to be structured and the company managed going forward. So I think Stacy's talked about it. It's across the board, so I think that's important. It's being addressed. And then I think third, and this was kind of music to my ears, the other message that I heard pretty strong was the revenue side of the equation is, you know, if we invest in this program, what kind of returns can we expect to see? What is it going to do to TOT in the county? Are there going to be targets set for growth in TOT over a 3 to 5 year period to match the plan and so forth? That's all being worked on at this time. So I think it was a pretty positive meeting on Tuesday. I know I will not be able to attend meeting at the end of next week, so I'm hoping we can make sure we've got a couple of people from the board that will be attending next week, because I think it's important that we stay involved on this thing at every opportunity that we can. So, Stacy, I thank you for coming out, and maybe the board has other questions.
Mm-hmm. I'm wondering if he's talking about next Friday's January 17th. Thanks, John. Joan, do you want to...
No, John, I just want to ask, we're having a cross question now.
I understand.
Are you talking about next Friday's meeting or next Wednesday's meeting?
Next Thursday.
Wednesday, are you talking about our meeting next Wednesday, or are you talking about the full thing next Friday?
Actually, right now, basically Friday, but Wednesday's in question.
Wednesday is in question. Okay, well, I can conference him for Wednesday. We'll discuss that later.
Okay.
Got it. Okay.
So I just want to be clear, there will be a task force meeting next Thursday, the 16th, at 8:30 a.m. That would be in addition to your current 3%. However, one of the questions that your task force members came to me that I've taken back to John Lambeth is if you would choose, if you said, well, we actually wanted to allocate a certain percentage out of what we currently assess to this effort, that is possible. Our legal counsel has said basically what we would need to do is look at your paperwork, figure out the proper agreements that we need to have in place, and we can make that happen. So we could work within what you currently assess.
So again, I'm a little confused. So it's not going to be coming out of TOT or assessed on top of TOT. So it won't affect any trailer parks or VRBOs or anybody like that, or restaurants, or whatever the TOT is comprised of. But we have a 3% BID that the hoteliers are the only ones contributing to. Mm-hmm. And so 1.5% of what we're currently collecting, or is it 1.5% in addition to the 3%? So we would be increasing to 4.5%.
That is a discussion point amongst your board.
Right. But I just want that clarified so that the hoteliers do understand that.
Again, I can't clarify that because that's one of the proposals
of
your board.
Exactly.
Right. But what we are saying is we're asking for a designated percentage going to the countywide effort.
Out of BID. Or
out
in
BID.
Addition to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Jenk, if I could just go back directly to Jan's question. I think what we need, and this is part of why Joan and I were wanting to get together and talk and discuss about our plan, but once we get enough information in from Stacy, we need to sit and probably do an offsite ourselves and go into all those issues. I mean, do we want to play or not is one question. If we would want to play, and if the group decides 1.25% or 1%, whatever that number is, do we want to play to the extent we increase, say it's 1%, we increase the assessment to everybody up to 14%, or do we want to take part of the money that we are currently collecting and assess or allocate a portion of that to the county effort? I mean, all that is discussion that needs to be done.
Oh, no, I understand. I understand. I want the hoteliers to understand and be aware of this, because it's ultimately we represent them. Not just us.
Right. May I? Ultimately, once we have our offsite, the next step would be that we would go back to our stakeholders, which are the hoteliers, and ask them, present them with our decision. Either way, I think we owe them an explanation of we have decided as a community board, as an advisory board, to advise the hoteliers that we either do want to move forward or that we don't want to move forward. And if we do want to move forward as a board, we advise them what percent we think would be viable. And then ultimately, it's up to the hoteliers to decide. The onus is on them to determine individually whether or not this shows value to them. They each have a voice. They each have a vote.
Okay, I'm going to go around the room real quick. Alex.
Hi, Stacy. Thank you for being here. I like the 5 years plan. I think you've done a wonderful job on it. It's good to see things, you know, the long term, not every year we're going through a, you know, budget process and not seeing how things are going to look like down the line. But at the same time, I just want to make sure additional assessment as far as a hotelier. I'm opposed it 100%. We got enough money. We're not even using it properly. Forget about adding more money coming out of the hotels. We're not making money to just keep giving away and not having any way to measure it and see that improvement in the county-wise, how much affects Morro Bay hotels. And so I really like part of this 5 years plan to see somehow, you know, what is effects, you know, impact our area, which is Morro Bay. We're sitting here as a board for Morro Bay, not for the whole county. So we really need to make sure whatever tool you put in here, there is a measurement so we know there is a gain for us down the line. Because we have to commit with you every year, you know, budget-wise, and we're doing that, you know, repeated. But I'm sometimes question, what do I get out of this? And that's really what part that I'd really like to see something in your plan to show that, you know, we have tools that you could come back a year from now or 2 years from now and say, this is what we contribute to your city. Thank you.
Hi, Stacy. Thanks again for being here. I'm taking shape. That was the number one thing that I heard in the meetings that I went to was marketing plan, marketing plan, marketing plan. Where is the money going to be spent? We can't arbitrarily say yes and not no. So I think that it's a good jumping off point, and we're headed in the right direction in terms of information and process, and I appreciate that.
Karen?
My first question is really kind of simple. How does this mission plan differ from the existing mission plan with Visit San Luis Obispo?
Yeah, that's really great. And the task force actually worked on that a lot on Tuesday. What you will find is that if you look at currently what we have, a lot of the mission that we currently have is based on collaboration. What we have done is we have elevated economic and increased revenues as really the number one core value, and you will see that as the prime focus in this new plan. So philosophically, those have shifted from where we were when the mission vision was revised in about 2008 to where we are today in 2013.
Shifted in the sense of more of less collaborative then, or
no. Sorry, don't get me wrong. With the primary emphasis on economic growth, secondarily working on collaboration, because now, if you remember back in 2008, most of you were just getting your own individual BIDs going. So the key focus, and that's why objective number two is critical in this plan, that we not only want to spearhead economic growth, but in order to do that, collaboration is number two in the sense that we must work together and looking at, we need to look at how we reduce duplication of efforts. I remind you of the Tourism Vision Workshop. We have a group from called the Caraggio Group. They are strategic planners. That's what they do. They are out of Portland, Oregon. They have been working with Visit California. They are coming here, and what their discussion is going to be on, or really presentation is going to outline, is a possible process that they could take our county through, understanding our unique landscape with this new, more increased funds for a countywide identity, and how we could go through a process with the ultimate goal of understanding each of our individual roles and how those connection points really work together, whether that be in a tactic of a co-op marketing campaign and other strategic forces. So that I think that process is critical. That's why you see it as objective number two in the plan.
Okay. One of my other questions is, and I haven't been able to participate in the strategic workshops, so this is kind of the first hard copy reports that I've seen from that, although we have had updates in our prior meetings. Is 8% being allocated to research and development in the new budget? How hard is the new budget developed for this? How hard is that set at this point? Because to me, that would be probably one of the most important collaborative avenues to take for the bid, since so many communities have bids established now, where we've kind of set up our marketing and media plans. And a huge portion of this from your proposed budget is going into advertising, with only 8% going into research and development. So how hard set are these numbers at this point?
Yeah, these numbers are we're starting to paint the picture. So we've broad brush stroked the picture. As we now get into how board allocation could look like essentially, these numbers will evolve. What everyone is asking is, how would you spend the money? We've done an initial framework to get, we really felt it was very important that we get the framework of our business, being what are our goals, our objectives, and our strategies. The way we spend the dollars, this is a potential allocation. Specifics will be defined by the board as that is defined and as funds are collected. So if, you know, your voice is that you want more into that area, that's definitely a possibility. What I wanted to show you today is that currently we spend very, very, very little on that, and we think it's important that we do bolster that particular section. What I'm hearing from you is you want that section even increased larger. So those are decisions that can still be made by the board. What I've been asked to do was give a potential allocation of how funds would be used.
Okay, off topic here, Stacy, but there's been a lot of discussion, rumor floating around about the change of the offices of Visit SLO. I'm not sure whether we now have a satellite in Paso, whether San Luis Obispo is still open, whether San Luis has been closed. Can you clarify that? Because we haven't heard anything as myself as a member of the to visit San Luis Obispo on the change of
sure.
office space?
So the offices moved to Paso Robles at the end of December. That was a decision by the executive committee. We were able to increase our footprint of our space slightly for the same amount of dollars output that we currently had in San Luis Obispo. Also, because over half of our staff is currently in the North County, it just made it a little bit easier for folks to get to their day-to-day office. So it was really
You know, it's always kind of hard to quantify what exactly we're getting out of that. So in this instance, if we just decide to go forward with it and you know, let's say it's 1% added on to our current BID, then, you know, we're kind of at that same point again where, you know, whatever that amount, 1% is, what are we receiving for that? Whereas, say, a group like Pismo is, you know, maybe 10 times as much. And, you know, how do we quantify or compare what we get out of those dollars compared to other communities?
Sure. One of the first things in the plan, so let me just address two parts to that. First of all, Visit San Luis Obispo County as it currently exists today, with the thinking of moving into this type of funding direction, essentially we would not be coming to ask you for annual funds.
Right.
This would be built into the process, essentially. Mm-hmm. So that's one thing. The second, in terms of how we measure quantifiable, one of the very first things as part of this research component is that we need to, with the board, that new board that we're talking about that's being determined the structure in the coming weeks of the task force, is to define a set of metrics that we're going to be held accountable. I felt it was very important that the board, as it's newly defined, is part of that process in defining those metrics, because this is something I hear in every single community. Every community wants to ensure that they're seeing their ROI at the end of the day. And so I think understanding those metrics and that we have a standard set of metrics and that we don't change the needle on the metrics that we can then measure over a five-year period will very much give you that year-to-year comparison, and we can come back and be able to report that. That's actually one thing. So Visit San Luis Obispo County, we really have tried to change the metric mix as everybody, but now that we all are in the bid process, I think the metrics become actually clearer. And so as we get into this process, we can really take a look at that and say, here are the quantifiable pieces that we're going to look at. Mm-hmm. I talk about that competitive set. Right now we're doing two things. We're looking at that competitive set and saying, how do they define their metrics? Santa Barbara, Monterey, Sonoma, and Napa, so we can look at their benchmark. And I'm also looking at saying, how do they staff themselves in terms of the in-house staff versus the contractors that they use, so we can continue gathering more data on how we want your organization, your marketing efforts looking in the future.
Now, on the board makeup, would the board of directors be a makeup of the people or the communities that are involved? You know, like say, you
yes,
know.
So that is the discussion that we're going to be having in terms of ensuring that your community, whether that is your tourism destination manager or a private industry or a mix of that, those are the discussions that we're having moving forward in 10 days next Thursday.
Okay.
Actually, in 1 week. I'm losing days on my head.
All right. You know, I think the other thing I think if this is to go forward, I think what would have to happen is we would have to look for areas where our own BID would have to, well, you know, we could probably get this done at the, you know, visit SLO County level. You know, we wouldn't have to do it out of our budget, let's say, so we could possibly save some duplication and save some money from our own BID here in town. So I just throw that out. I'm just not sure, you know, what Alex had mentioned, if this is another tax. You know, I mean, a lot of these hoteliers, just like restaurants, are independently owned. Here's another tax that we have to pay. We're already paying. You know, it's always kind of a tough pill to swallow when you talk about taxing an independent business. So just want to throw that out there.
John, do you have anything else to add?
Just real quick. Number one is, Karen, I take your comments. I agree 100%. I was happy to see here that previously we had probably 2% of the budget allocated to research, and that equated to $15,000. Now we're going 8% of a much bigger number. It's $230,000. So there's real meat there to really accomplish something that we couldn't do before. So I think that's very, very positive. And I think the other thing I just wanted to say was, you know, this information has been coming together fairly quickly over the last 90 days. Joan and I, as your sub-task force here, need to get together next week and talk about the recommendation going forward to everybody else in this board. But I think where we're going is, once we've got, probably by Friday of next week, we've probably got enough information to convene ourselves to have a really serious discussion about how we want to go. And I think what we want to do is come out of that group with, we'll present to the group a series of potential options directions that we could go to, get consensus at the group, and then go back to our constituents and get their, you know, fill them in detail and get their insight as to which way we would like to go. The last thing I think I'd like to say is the other important thing that I heard was, and this is pretty much around the table, and there was, 12 or 14 people there on Tuesday.
I would probably, that's the only place we can determine if we're getting benefit in the sense that way, if they say, oh, well, we saw it on this website, okay? But how will the individual websites be handled in this proposal? Are you going to charge the individual hotels to be on the main website like you do now?
The answer to that is no. The hope here is that with a sustainable funding model, we can remove membership as we currently exist today, and we can actually represent everyone in its entirety. And so, and currently your membership is part of your annual funding that you give into Visit San Luis Obispo County. So the hope is that with this allocated assessment, whether it be from your current assessment or you increase your assessment, that is your decision to be made, is that everyone would be represented from that perspective. And
okay, so everybody will have the same website with, you know, they'll just do the input like
correct.
They do. Okay. What is the vote that you need to move forward?
I think that is really up to your board.
No, I'm talking about the county. What is the vote you need to be able to get approved?
So to move into the documentation phase, we need 51% of the revenue-generating hotels to move into the documentation phase.
So it and comes down not to the board, but the hotels are the ones that are going to have to.
Correct. However, let me finish that piece. That begins the process. Then the County Board of Supervisors allows, they bless the process, if you will, and then it goes to every city council to then allow that assessment to happen. But because now the BIDs that are currently in place, that's why we're doing the work at this level, to work with you to get your recommendation, because many of you represent the larger majority of your hoteliers.
Okay, and the last thing is, this is a pie. The marketing plan's brilliant for the end of 5 years. My question is, I would really just like to see the pie portion of the expenditures in year 1, 2, 3, 4, unless you're telling me that you're going to use the advertising dollars, you know, as they are in the percentage, rather than for setup, organization, and stuff like that. I think that's pretty important.
Okay, and that is very good input. What we wanted to stay focused on was that 5-year outlook.
Yeah, but I would like to see it. as it progresses through the years.
And we can definitely do that. I will just be honest with you. It's going to change. As Karen Biagini had mentioned, allocations may change as you evolve. So I think if what I'm hearing you say is you need to know kind of what the startup funds would be in year one versus what we would look at in terms of true marketing in year five.
Well, let me explain from my perspective and for the hotels, okay? I'm collecting 1.5% regardless if you have organizational costs or not. And 1.5% represents an amount of money for my hotel as well as all hotels. I would rather put 1.5% towards advertising and increase my own BID for advertising rather than for organizational costs. So I would like to see that. Okay.
Great. We can work through that.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay. I have a couple of questions. Thank you, Stacy, for coming out here. So looking through this document, you talk about our strategic alliances obviously being the tourism organizations, but it's got transportation and wine groups. Will they be paying into any of this assessment, or will it strictly be put on the hoteliers?
The way the task force has defined the assessment today is those entities that currently pay TOT. And so that is kind of the broad definition. That's something we're going to start working through with a task force once we define the board structure aspect to determine, do we at this point want to go to the RV parks, the B&Bs, the vacation rentals, so on and so forth. Every BID right now is a little bit unique in that scenario.
Right.
So that is why that is a work in process. But to be very clear with you at this point, there's no discussion about assessing wineries, restaurants, any of those other assets.
Okay, so it's strictly TOT hoteliers, whereas, and like you just said, everybody's a little different.
Yep.
In Morro Bay, I'll remind everybody, that does not include VRBOs, that does not include RVs, so just so we're clear for Morro Bay.
Mm-hmm.
And then Savor,
mm-hmm.
How is that going to fall in? You know, all of the individual entities kind of dump a handful of money into that arm, as you would say, for Visit Slow. So where do you see the Savor? I would assume that's just separate, or tell me where that fits
in.
That's
a great assumption, and yes, as you look at the pie chart, we have a allocation towards event marketing, which a portion of Savor could be into that the new Visit Slow County Tourism Marketing District may choose to support a portion of Savor if they choose, but we're really working towards Savor being wholly contained within its own budget. That's how it initially started. That's how our board has asked for it to be ran as discussion at the task force meets, as I remind people.
Yeah,
it's a lot of moving parts.
God, and there was one other thing I wanted to ask you, and now I'm forgetting. Real quick, too, there had been a rumor that the Paso Robles office was going to actually have a visitor center attached to it. Is that?
No, there's no visitor center. That is not our role. We are a marketing organization.
Okay.
If it helps you, we're actually on second floor with the hope of not getting traffic.
Just want to clarify
that. We want you guys to be the visitor centers that you contract with.
I just remember hearing that at some point, too, so I thought I'd clarify that for the record, too. Okay, I knew there was one other thing, but I'm totally drawing a blank. Oh, I think it was, I would agree with you, Alex. I do not think the hoteliers can support the 14%. So I think it's going to come back to this board, and it's going to come out of our thing. And I'm just saying that more to our board than I am necessarily to you, Stacey. So I think that's it. I think that's it. Does anybody else have anything else for Stacey before I let her go?
Well, I have kind of a board thing. If this board decides to go along with the proposal, is it on us to talk with the hoteliers, the stakeholders, and say, hey, this is what the board decided. It's a good idea. You know, does the onus fall on us to persuade the stakeholders to get involved if this board decides to go forward?
Answer that.
Go ahead.
In terms of process, we would first have the meeting that John had discussed probably within the next month or so. At that point, we would determine whether we as a board recommend moving forward to open up discussion to our stakeholders. At that point, we would then go back to our stakeholders as determined by the ordinance that comes forward to us, and we're going to need that prior to us determining who our stakeholders are. So we would go back to our stakeholders and have a discussion with them and let them know what our decision is, and if they are or are not overwhelmingly interested, that's going to determine what our recommendation is to our city council, so that when the Board of Supervisors comes to our community and comes to our city council will then know how our stakeholder community feels, what our recommendation is to them, and then they can determine whether they feel that our city can handle this.
Now, does the city council, does that ordinance override what the hoteliers vote? Do we need a vote from them in order for the ordinance to go forward? Or?
What happens is it's a shared, that's why this is a public-private partnership. Mm-hmm. It's a shared proposition. In other words, the city council can say yes, but then when it goes, there's a 90-day open period, or is it a 30-day? I can't remember exactly. There's an open period, and if the hoteliers protest, or if the stakeholders protest, if that does include campgrounds and RVs and all that stuff, if there's a 51%, it depends on which ordinance they're going under, though. So we're going to have to see the ordinance, because there's two ordinances. One is either a 50+1% protest or a 50+1% positive. So either way, it's going to take 50+1 to deny it or approve it. And if our city council hears from those stakeholders that they deny the process, then they can't move forward. Conversely, if our stakeholders approve it and our city council denies it, we don't move forward. Mm-hmm. That's why it's a partnership.
Right.
So it's a process. Okay, does anybody have anything further questions for Stacy before we get her off the podium here?
Just one more question. Yeah. The money that you're proposing, it's all in that 51%? Is it that number? Is it you have the $3 million here? Is it all that, or is there some other money coming in beside this?
Now, that would be the full assessment dollars.
This is the full assessment mm-hmm. dollar. Right.
Correct.
Now, have you looked at this to fund this different ways besides just getting from the hotelier as far as, because this is for whole county, which means
correct.
Everybody, even mm-hmm. industries, were going to make money out of this. So why we have to pay as a hotelier, that's the first question everybody's going to ask us, to pay for everybody else. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, I know it's a, you know, it's a different, you know, we can play with that quite a bit, but this is a big money that we're paying, and not necessarily we're going to get all the benefits. And, you know, I mean, we already spending money in our city doing what we're supposed to do with advertising and so forth. So now to go to the county and, you know, put in 1.5% more, one and a quarter.
The small portion of TOT that we get from a county perspective, which is currently at $325,000. So all the documents that we have continues asking for that $325,000 from the county. Now, what we also, if we move to the 1.25%, what the other proposal is that the monies that come from the individual communities would actually be returned to you so that you can keep those for your individual community efforts. So that $325,000, which is currently county funding through their grant process, has continued to be folded into this. That, of course, will be based on task force and constituents' desire to want to continue moving forward and requesting those funds.
Okay, perfect. Okay, thank you, Stacy, for coming out.
Thank you.
Out.
If I might just add one more thing, because I know this is where we get into our timing and just a little bit of so our board in December did vote and said that for the kind of short term for this next fiscal year, which will be coming with our annual funding request to you, will again be the 2/10 taxable rents. So I just wanted to prepare you that you will be getting a letter from us with what your allocation request is. That includes your full totality of hospitality or of your hoteliers membership as part of that. And that the hope is we're going to be asking you for 12-month plus a 6-month intent if this would take us 18 months to get to. As you see, we're bullish on the fact that by 2015 we'd be moving into this aspect, but that will be based on the process and the momentum that is carried forward. So I just wanted to put that out there so there's no confusion when that letter of request comes.
Thank you, because that would have definitely been requested.
One more question. This 5 years plan, is that commitment from whoever is a stakeholder on this, that they have to commit 5 years or they can get out in 1 year? Or
no, we would be looking at, there's two BID laws, the 89 Act and the 94 Act.
I just want to make sure this is all clear.
We would be looking at the 94 Act.
Thank you, Stacy. Before you go, just for the board, I think that a good opportunity to talk to our hoteliers would be our annual stakeholders meeting, and we might be able to put together some breakouts or hotel panels there to discuss this and really put our finger on the pulse of how our hotel community feels if we determine as a board to move forward. So that's something to consider and put your thoughts into as you digest the information.
Okay, great. Thank you, Stacy. Thank you. Okay, so this will obviously be back on our agenda. I would encourage everybody to try to go to next Friday, January 17th. I would hope, Stacy, anybody that didn't RSVP could maybe still attend. I know the RSVP date, I believe, was the 7th. Okay. Good. So we can still come. We just don't get to be on the special drawing. We're still special. So if I would encourage everybody out in the world out there as well as our board, January 17th, which is next Friday, Cal Poly Performing Arts Center, and then they'll probably lay out and go into a lot more detail. So, okay. Then we will move forward. The next agenda item is presentation of Executive Director's Report, and I'll turn that over to Karen Moss with Moss Marketing.
Good morning, everybody. Before I get started, I'd like to introduce Ken Vesterfeld. He intended to be here for public comment, and he was running a little bit late. So with your permission, I'll introduce Ken.
Thanks, and again, my apologies. I had put the wrong time in my cell phone. I just wanted to thank this board here for and Karen, who led me in the right direction when we found out that MyClassicCar.com, the TV show, was going to be coming and doing a show here. It kind of surprised me. I wasn't quite prepared for it. It was 2.5 years in trying to procure him to come here because of his schedule. And with about 6 or 7 weeks left, he asked if he could come and then asked for some funds. So to me, it was well-spent money. I don't know whether you can buy. I don't know whether anybody has seen the program. It was on Sunday morning. It'll be on MOV TV this weekend also. But if you want to just see a portion of it, MyClassicCar.com, it'll be the first show of the season. The beautiful shots of the area. How are we going to measure how successful that is? I have no idea. This is an international show that's seen all over car show people, Sweden and Japan, actually. So I was very excited to be able to work with this gentleman, a fine person to work with. So I thank the board for allowing those funds. I believe it was close to $1,900, which to me was well spent. On top of that, CarCraft magazine, it's one of the oldest car magazines around. It's owned by Hot Rod magazine, so it's been around since 1948. They have been coming here now for 3 years. I contacted them 4 years ago. They came. Well, this year, they did not only do one page, 2- and 3-page section on the Morro Bay Car Show. So it was quite awesome.
Oh, I can definitely vouch. People start coming in early. They usually stay 3 and 4 nights, and they're a great clientele. So very, very good job on your guys' event. Good job.
Well, that's along with the help of the business people, which we try to get a little more, and almost 100 volunteers. So it's not just a small
Right, I know it's not
people,
just you. So yeah.
I appreciate it.
Thank you, volunteers.
Thank you again, Karen. I appreciate it.
Ken, it's an enormous undertaking for our community, and we do appreciate it. And we love your enthusiasm, and we love your shirts every time you come out. I don't know if AGP got a shot of your shirt, but it's the best shirt in the room.
I had to wear it for today anyway.
It's terrific.
But thank you for your support. Thanks.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned the shirt, Joan. I was going to mention the thematic ensemble myself. I also want to mention charter that was up there before. I did get a phone call from them yesterday. I had worked with that rep in the past, and we are scheduled to get together next week to discuss that. It sounds like a really viable program. So Peter and our PowerPoint, I'll have to kind of wing it then. As you could see from the report I previously submitted, November through January has been Shop Local Month. We started with a Shop Local campaign and two standalone inserts in Tolosa Press promoting holiday activities. They had different covers, so each one of them had fresh editorial, fresh photos, and included our new city map listing all of the businesses in Morro Bay. It was also distributed countywide at the Slow Thanksgiving Parade, so it had a very big distribution. In December, we did a lot of just PR materials about holiday activities, shopping deals. We sent out our staff Christmas card. We had to, because of the lighted boat parade being rescheduled, we had to reschedule our Morro Bay holiday stroll with and it was attended by 66 locals and out-of-towners. We invited them to the visitor's center for refreshments, carols, and the goal, of course, was to get them to shop locally. We took a lot of the elements of our event, and we were able to support the lighted boat parade with event coordination, our costumed characters, some of our leftover gift bags and goodies, and I believe we were helpful to them. The statewide film commission directory, which is coming out this month, we worked closely with Janice Peters, who formerly brought that to you through the Community Promotions Committee. We developed a specific ad, copy points for the website, and we will take that ad, repurpose it, and turn it into a direct mail piece that will go to all of the film scouts and producers listed in that directory. As previously mentioned, we did send out an e-blast to over 12,000 in our database, and thanks, Johnny, for your input, and Peter and I will certainly look at those remarks that you made. January, as Nick mentioned, is Restaurant Month. I've done a special insert coming out tomorrow with Tolosa that features every single restaurant in Morro Bay. Everyone had an opportunity to buy advertising in there, but the ones that are referenced editorially are the ones that are actual advertisers. This will be coming out tomorrow and have a very wide circulation. In conjunction with that, we're developing an event called the North Morro Bay Nosh, which will introduce locals to a lot of the restaurants in North Morro Bay that perhaps they haven't been to before. Based on the success of this program, we'll develop this in other areas of the community. In February, we have our American Heart Association Go Red for Women's Luncheon. Last year, we did it in Bakersfield. And this year, they've added on Fresno as part of our sponsorship. At a very low cost, we'll have exposure and booth space, full paid ad in the program, an opportunity to win a Morro Bay weekend, and we expect to have over 850 executive women names added to our database. I'm currently working on an advertorial in the countywide visitor guide that comes out in early February, and the subject is going to be revitalization and celebratory events, which will include Morro Bay in Bloom, Morro Bay Beautiful, and our 50th anniversary activities, and as well as advertising our first quarter events. That same material will be repurposed as a rack card. As Joan mentioned, we did assist with the publicity on the first day hike. Nancy Johnson and I were on the conference call yesterday with the state, and they were so impressed with the Morro Bay participation. The ranger from Auburn was very disappointed that they weren't number one again this year. Evidently, there were over 22,000 people in California that came out for the first day hike, and the state of Virginia was eclipsed by this. So everybody was very positive about it, and Nancy let the committee know that you intend to do it next year. So it was a very good support that will be distributed through all of our certified outlets. I've taken the few hundred that are left and redistributed them to the highest traffic areas. So thank you. That's my report. I can happily answer any questions, and I'd like to introduce Ed with a visitor center report.
Do you guys want to ask Karen any questions now, or do you want to have her bring Ed up and then come back? Okay, go ahead and bring Ed. Okay, go ahead and bring Ed up.
Madam Chairman and distinguished TBID board members, you'll have to pardon my voice this morning. It's left me a little bit hoarse, but I am fine, and I have lots of information for you. This morning, I'd like to briefly recap some of the visitor center stats for the past year and provide you with some personal observations. In January 2013, our first month of operation, we had 451 visitors. In December, we welcomed 828 visitors. Our busiest month was August, with a total of 2,083 visitors. In total this year, we've serviced 12,305 visitors, or an average of 1,025 visitors per month. Only adult visitors are counted who enter the visitor center. Older children and teens who ask questions about activities or who request information on their own are also counted. We do not count small children and babies. We answered 2,510 phone calls, or an average of 209 per month. The majority of our phone calls are requests for event information as well as local attractions. Many callers still think we are the Chamber of Commerce, so we get lots of questions about the city which are not necessarily tourist-oriented. We greeted visitors from all over the world, as well as from most of our own 50 states. Germany seemed to be the most popular country visiting Morro Bay this year. Our geocaching location is very popular, and many tourists stop by because they solve the clues that lead them to our visitor center. I also want you to know that each and every tourist who enters our visitor center is personally greeted and given all the time it takes to help them answer the questions which they have. Everyone who works at the visitor center takes great pride in providing courteous, helpful, friendly, and accurate information. We are very proud of our new visitor center and look forward to another outstanding year of providing our services to the tourists, visitors, and residents of Morro Bay. And I personally want to thank you for the opportunity to be a part of this dynamic organization. And if you have any questions about the visitor center, I'll be happy to answer them, and then you can ask Karen your questions.
Okay, we're going to go Ed first. Go ahead, Jane.
Hi, Ed. Can you just reiterate what you've told me, that for the most part, I would say, 85% of the people that come into the visitor centers have already made their hotel reservations?
I don't know about 85%. It might even be higher than that.
Right. That's what I
Most of the people who come to the visitor center are already staying here if they are in Morro Bay. For the most part, I'd say 85% of the visitors at the visitor center are not staying in a Morro Bay hotel. They're passing through. They're not even staying in Morro Bay overnight. They're mostly transients coming and going.
Great. Thank you. Alex?
Yeah. Ed, thank you very much for a great job. I drive by every day and watch everything going on there. And you're doing a wonderful job. The staff is doing a great job there. Thank you.
Thank you.
Terrific report, Ed. I was telling Michelle, we had a little meeting within a meeting for a second, and I said, you know, he's terrific. We ought to get buttons that say we love Ed.
We love you, too.
Karen.
Yeah. After, you know, having the visitor center in its new location open for a year, I also want to give thank you to you and the staff for a job well done. And I want to ask you if there's anything that you've run across in the past year that you feel could make us a even more visible and stronger visitor center.
I do. I think the city has let us down on the signs. They did put them up, but they're not accurate. I had a woman walk in the other day who had been trying to locate the visitor center because she was walking, and she saw the signs. And they're totally inaccurate. They're not two blocks one way, one block another way. They should be accurate, and they should be more visible. So if the signs can be redesigned maybe or repositioned or and made more accurate for the information that's on them, that would help a great deal. I personally am very surprised that we are getting so much traffic at the visitor center, because compared to where we were last year on the Embarcadero, where we have hundreds and hundreds of people walking by, especially during the tourist season, many people just look in the door and came in and were counted as visitors who really may not have been there for tourist information. We're being found quite well. So our location is a good location, and I think to improve it, Karen, the signage would help a lot.
Nick.
I just wanted to echo what everyone else said. What a great job. You know, what I think a lot of people don't realize is this is just the first year for the visitor center at that location, and it's gone, you know, hit the ground running. I'm really impressed with the numbers. If you look at December's numbers for visitors, were higher than they were for June, which was quite a testament to, I think, what we're doing there, and the momentum is building. Ed, I wanted to ask you, do we have people asking for the restroom for the visitor center?
Yes.
Okay.
We direct them to the public restrooms that are locally, that are close by,
right,
or on the Embarcadero.
Down the stairs there at the Centennial?
Yeah, and okay. A new one is being established, I understand, at the corner of Morbid Boulevard in Maine,
right.
So that will be very handy, yes.
Okay. All right, continued good work. Thanks so much.
John, anything?
Just real quick. I mean, this will be the first time I'm ever going to agree with Alex, but just want to say thanks to Ed and to the rest of the staff, because you guys do a great job. Thank you.
You're more than welcome. And everyone at the Visitor Center is very happy and delighted to be working there, and we're going to do even a better job this coming year. Thank you.
Oh. Thank you. Yeah.
Ed? I just want you to know that I have brought up the signage situation for the visitor center to city council months and months ago, and to the acting city manager at that time, requesting that the signage be changed so that it is accurate. So I just want you to know they're very aware of it.
Thank you.
Yeah, Ed, I'm going to ask for us to put that as a future agenda item, because I think we should assign a little task force to go back after that. And to me, our signage to our visitor center should be permanent signage, not, you know, banners that might be interchanged and things like that. It should be really permanent signage. And I was remiss in not thanking the rest of the staff for the fabulous job that they do down there. And I can't believe that visitor center has been opened a year. Karen did a great job with the kickoff event, and it's just been rolling ever since. So appreciative to everybody, the staff from the top all the way through.
Thank you guys very
comments.
Much
thank
down
you
there.
For your kind comments.
Thanks. I think we all agree that location has really been, I think we all drive by there, we're all in, it's right in the heart of the hotel world, so it's nice to have it right there, and it's easy to walk to. I can walk over and just say hi to these guys every now and then, and it's kind of nice to just get out of the office and walk real quick. So okay, so moving on, marketing and website status report. Oh, yeah, sorry. Wait, Karen, don't go anywhere. I forgot. We forgot to ask Karen and if she has any questions. Sorry, guys. If we have any questions for Karen. Jane.
I do. First of all, again, thank you for everything you're doing. That was a great report, and I like the images. It was very nice. Mm-hmm. One of the things that Ed said, which I think was important, is that people are calling, and a lot of things they want to know about is events. Mm-hmm. And one of the things you didn't bring up in your report, which I think is important, is that you're working on a 12-month calendar of event. When will that be done?
I think I'll look to Peter for that input. Peter is diligently working on that. I have a meeting with Joe Woods next week to get some feedback from the city. So we've been looking at the what's going on in the county. So we plan on presenting you with a very comprehensive calendar of events.
It's true. I have been working on a calendar. I've been putting in, you know, events from around the county, anything that looks important, Cal Poly events, Cuesta events, and I'm not sure what the purpose of it is yet. It hasn't really been determined exactly, so we need to determine what exactly I'm putting them in there for, so maybe I can angle the information in the most useful
way. I think this is a great thing to do, because when you get these events and you send it to our hotel, we make sure it's on our schedules, on our planning for the year, So really, there's a great purpose to it. And not knowing which events and what date sometimes throw us as far as reservation system. So it does really help. So if we can get it before, you know, beginning of the year, that would be nice every year.
I think one of the things that Jane had mentioned was it gives us an opportunity to be pitching events when we see there's a void.
We have a future agenda item about events committee grant funding, and I think when we go into the event grant funding, I'd also like to maybe have that. I'd like to have a little discussion about events, and I think it'd be good to put it under that grant funding committee when we decide on that committee. Jane's had a lot of ideas she's told me about off the board level, and so I think that's an opportunity to bring it forward and have that be all part. It should be part of our funding also, because there should be a partnership with these funding. So I think we'll get back to that. But Peter started the preliminary work, put it that way. There's a lot more to still be done on it. So
if I can just ask, I'm crazy. I work on deadlines. So like if you said to me by February 1st, I will have what I have to you, I would really appreciate that. I would like an end date for at least a preliminary report. Can we do that?
I think that's fair to say, Peter. I think we can turn up the volume on that. As you know, we've been working diligently on our annual report, but I think we can certainly focus on having this ready for you.
Thank you.
Okay, Jane, anything else for Karen on her report? No? Okay, I guess not. Alex.
Well, thank you for your work. I just want to make sure that we're going to discuss that down the line, I'm sure. But that event planning, I think, is something that really we want to make sure we focus this year, because, you know, I'm still concerned about the winter time and, you know, the activity we have in the city. It's pretty bleak. To put it, you know, and that's, I know we have great, you know, stuff going on during the summer, and I really want to see a difference in the winter time when we're slow and the business is down, and I think it's something we should focus next year.
You know, I think since we created our in-house marketing, a lot of people have come forth to say that this is very appealing to them with some of their events. One of their biggest problems was that, you know, they could operate the event, but they couldn't market the event. So they're looking to us for that, and I think that's going to open some new doors for us.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. John?
Hi, Karen. Thanks for your presentation. I like the visuals on it. It's really helpful. Mm-hmm. There were some questions earlier about the San Francisco Chronicle thing that happened. Can you give us some perspective on that from a rep to the VCB? Can you give us...
Well, as
your
Stacey mentioned, too, it was very 11th hour. All I can say to you is I really didn't know anything about it until John Myers asked me about it yesterday. I was completely unaware of it. I had not been contacted by anyone. Typically what happens when I get an opportunity for advertising, I take a look at it. If it's something that's local and regional, I make a decision about it. If it's something that requires destination marketing, I'm in touch with John Sorgenfrey. So in this particular scenario, I knew nothing about it.
Were you at the meeting where they presented?
No, I wasn't. I don't know why I wasn't there, but, you know, I did have a very good attendance record in the transition since I've become the independent contractor. I don't go to those meetings anymore. But in that scenario, as Stacy just mentioned to you, the advertorial was already written, and they had a very short sales window. At no time was it presented to me.
Okay.
I value San Francisco as a market for us, and it would have definitely piqued my interest. There's no question about it.
Yeah, for sure. We all value San Francisco as a market. I was just wondering where the communications gap was, because I think that's important for us. I think being able to provide somebody at that level for those meetings right now, I think we have a gap there right now, and I think we're suffering from the gap. We either need to ask Karen to continue to attend those meetings as part of our goals and mission, or we need to assign somebody off this board, because that's a huge loss for us. I can tell you that originally when we purchased the Pleasant Inn, I thought 70% of they never had a reservation system. I thought 70% of our clients were coming from Bakersfield and and Fresno there, and it's not. It's a third split. It mirrors what I had when I had the Days Inn. It mirrors what I had with the Villager, and it mirrors what I have with the Bungalow, and we just can't let that market go. It's super important to us, so we've really got to put pressure on that, and I appreciate your answer.
I would say it's there are times people are going to miss meetings, so I would just, you know, unfortunately, yeah, we need to look at, we have a gap. We've missed meetings in the past.
You know, I'm happy to go to those meetings. If you tell me today you would like me to start attending those meetings regularly, I will continue attending the meetings. So
yes.
You know, I have no problem with doing that whatsoever.
Yes, so please attend the meetings. And I would just reach out, since we happen to have Stacy here, if we miss a meeting, if we can still be informed and in the loop, that would be great, because we all have busy schedules, and sometimes we do miss a meeting or get sick and have things that come up. So we would hope that partnership could continue even if we do miss out, because obviously now this is a snowballing effect and has a lot of people in an uproar. So
my intention is just to close the gap, and
Thank you, Joan.
I appreciate your offer
completely.
To go.
Yeah, absolutely. I have no problem with it.
Okay. Karen, anything on the ED report?
Nothing.
Or questions? Nick? John? Okay. And I will thank you, Karen, for
thank
all
you
your hard
very
work
much.
You do.
And
thank you.
A
and
shout out to Peter. He's been such a great support for us and nights, weekends, and we just so appreciate him. So
yeah,
thank
and
you.
If Karen, you can't make a VCB meeting, then maybe we'll ask Peter to go and attend.
So thanks very much.
He just gave a thumbs up.
Yeah. poor Peter is like, can you do this? Can you do that? Okay, now, John Sorgenfrey. Sorry, John, I had jumped you up to the podium too much. My head's not all the way on today. I'm fighting
okay.
All these colds here, so.
I'm also going to be filling in for Rick. He's out of town. He's in Las Vegas at the Consumer Electronics Show, and he's feverishly texting me and sending me emails of all the things that he'd like for me to buy. Luckily, I didn't give him a company card, you know, a credit card, so, but some pretty exciting things. I mean, there's like these, one of the things in particular that was interesting is there's these, you know, we've heard a lot about droids. Well, now there's a droid that you can buy for about $1,200 and do all of these aerial photography for next to nothing when you used to be able to hire a pilot and a helicopter. And so there's a lot of exciting things. So I think it's worthwhile that he's there. I would like to comment just briefly on this, the San Francisco Chronicle thing, because I was involved in that as well. I think the good news is that the Chronicle was interested in doing something along the Central Coast. The bad news is they were horribly disorganized and notified us at the last minute. Also, the editorial, if you read the editorial, it's not about San Luis Obispo County. It's about the city of San Luis Obispo, which I was a little disappointed in. However, that being said, the good news is, and this has certainly nothing to do with Stacy's team, I mean, I think she did the right thing by saying this is at the last minute, the editorial's already done, you rep from the Chronicle, contact all these different, you know, entities and see what you can do. Pismo did have an ad, but because Pismo already had an existing ad that they could just throw in there right away, which is something I want to talk to you guys about today, how we accomplish that, to have some pre-approved ads that we, you know, like back in the old days when we had fire sales and things like that, and how we can facilitate that. But the good news is that the Chronicle sees this as a potential market. They are going to be coming back with some additional advertorial co-op programs. I'm going to be working with the rep. I'll certainly make sure Morro Bay is included in that. And hopefully this next time they'll write about all the different advertisers, because it was very city of San Luis Obispo oriented, which is fine. But it would be nice to have it more county represented too, and I'm sure that Stacy will work on that as well, because the rep seems very anxious to make us all happy and get our advertising dollars. Also, I just wanted to say I did see Stacy's presentation yesterday at another meeting, and you know, I think the marketing plan is a really great start and very detailed. I did emphasize, and I think Stacy's in agreement, that I think the county's position with this advertising that's going to be done is the offering of co-op opportunities will be extremely important to stop the repetition that we're all doing. I mean, I'll give you a good example, as we all run one column ads in the back of Sunset Magazine, to be able to have somebody like the county with their new efforts come back with a four-page advertorial in Sunset that we would all participate in, or, you know, similar to what we did with U.S. Airways a few years ago. I think those are going to be really strong aspects of the county and what they can do, because they are the neutral party in this. They're the ones that can get all the BIDs together to pool our dollars so we have a joint message in that way. And I think that's where the duplication, some of the duplication would stop. Did want to talk about, sorry, I missed the last meeting. I was informed by Rick and Mark, though, of all went on, and I'll talk about that a little bit, a couple of the things that you brought up. For as far as the website goes, I'll give you just kind of the highlights and then answer any questions. We did send you out the stats. We've got really good news to say. You know, if we look at basically from a summary standpoint, and this is what Rick had prepared for me to give you the highlights, if we look at July through December of this year, we're up 24%. If we look in context with January through June of the year prior, we were down 84%. So we've seen some really good growth there, and that's on the hotel listing page. If you look at visitors coming in via organic search, July through December, we're even, which is not always that great. But if you look at January through June, we were down 33%. So we've been able to stabilize that and stop that being down as opposed to being up. And lodging referrals, July through December, we're still down 5%. However, January through June of last year, we were down 52%. So that was one of the charges that you guys gave us almost immediately about coming on board, was to do something about those lodging referrals and stop that downward trend. So, and the good news is, that being said, the last 3 months have been positive. If you look at October through December, we're up 12%. So what happens is when you combine a bunch of months and you've got some really, you know, low numbers to begin with, it brings that average down. So the good news is that trend now is positive. If we look at overall visitors to the website, July through December, we're up 17%, as opposed to a 3% growth of January through June of the previous year. So I think one of the charges that this board gave us was to work diligently on the website. We all know how important the website is. It's where all the marketing is funneled. That's where we make our deals. That's where we book our hotels. So certainly not lost on anybody that that's one area that we really needed to put a great deal of emphasis in. And I will give, you know, credit to where it's due, and that's predominantly to Rick and Casey and working on all of these issues. And so that's kind of the website. I was going to have Casey come up and give you some social media stats, and then I would like to come back up just on a couple of items, too, that I wanted to discuss during that time. But okay. I'll take questions if you'd like.
Do you guys want to do questions? Why don't we go ahead when you come back up? We'll okay. Do questions then. Then that way Casey can go ahead and come
okay,
up.
Okay, I'll let Casey come up then. You all know Casey.
Hi, Casey. Hi.
Good morning. So I'm just going to give a little bit of background on the activity report along with some stats. And so with the Facebook page, as you guys were saying in your announcements, we have the 50th anniversary and the commencement events. I've been posting a lot of information about that, about Restaurant Month, and of course in those posts encouraging people to come stay and enjoy all these activities week long, not just come out for the day, posting the lodging links as well. And we've been placing some ads. There's two different ads that I've placed. One is referring people to our Facebook page and keep making sure that the current posts, so when people are coming to the page, include a lodging link or relevant content that will encourage them to come and visit Morro Bay so that they're not just coming to our page and seeing random photos or stuff. We want it to be relevant content to get them to actually come and visit. The other one is shows up in the news feed, and it just directs them directly to the lodging page. So there's a little blurb about coming and experiencing the events and all we have to offer. But when they click it, instead of being directed just to our Facebook page, they're directed directly to the lodging page. Those ads have got almost 45,000 impressions, helped increase the page likes, sent over 250 people back to the lodging page and our website, and so they're doing very well. our fan base has passed 20,000. We're at 22,739, really pushing for that 25,000 mark. They just kind of start to build upon each other as the fan base grows bigger. There's 7,453 engaged users weekly. That's a really great number to have. And our weekly total reach is 52,000 people, so we're reaching double what our fan base is of people seeing the posts and engaging and commenting and liking those pages. Let's see here. Our Pinterest page is doing well. I missed the last meeting, so I don't know if I informed you guys. They rolled out a new tool for places, is what they call it. You can now go in and add the address to anything that is pinned to a board on your Pinterest page, and it shows a map on the right-hand side of the page, so it just helps people see where things are happening. If they're in the events board, they can click the little, kind of like a Google map, the little red pinpoint and say, oh, that event's exactly at this point and whatnot, along with restaurants or anything it may be. So I'm going through in the process still of updating all of the addresses on the pins. The only thing with that is the location has to already be established on Foursquare. So sometimes it gets a little tricky if something's not already there. And then obviously I'm still posting on Twitter and Instagram. TripAdvisor is doing well. The events are updated. The page views, we had 1,900 page views in the month of December, 37 video views, 66 photo views, 58 link clicks, and those are to the hotel and Morro Bay pages off of TripAdvisor, and then 31 event clicks off of the shows, four or five featured events, and then they update as the events pass. YouTube has over 40,000 lifetime video views from just October through the end of December. We've had 11,500 video views. And then we are running some targeted ads there with the Discover Morro Bay in 30 Seconds video. And then our newest upcoming ad will be the newly added Oyster Fest video, targeting all of our target markets and Central Coast, anyone interested in festivals, oyster, seafood, Morro Bay, et cetera. And that is it.
Does anybody have any questions for Casey before we bring John back up?
The only question that I've got is you started out with your Facebook ads and the great response you're getting. What areas are those targeted at?
Those are targeted within a five-hour driving radius of Morro Bay, but heavily emphasized in San Francisco, L.A., and the Valley, Bakersfield, Fresno areas. And then they also target people with specific interests, such as food and dining, health and well-being, nature lovers, wildlife, California Central Coast, you know. Yes.
Hi, Carrie. I have a question. On the YouTube videos, are those advertised or people? Do people go there on their own if they're going to go to Morro Bay? Let's see if there are any videos on YouTube about Morro Bay.
They show up in a variety of different ways. There's in-stream, where if somebody is searching for a video that might be similar, maybe they just typed in Central Coast, sometimes there's an ad that pops up before and it says, you may skip this ad in 4 or 5 seconds, or you can watch it. If they only charge you if the person sits and watches the whole ad and then clicks through to your page and wants to see what's happening.
The ad would come up
the video they want to watch. So,
but they're on YouTube right now, and that when the ad would come up?
Exactly.
Oh, okay.
Yes. And then there's ones where if they just search Morro Bay, it'll be a sponsored ad. It'll show up the first or second post. So they might click that instead of clicking what they were originally searching for, because they will see that it was posted by Morro Bay Travel, and they'll say, notice that we're a valid source and want to click and see what our channel has posted. And then since YouTube's ads are done through Google AdWords, they also do a little bit, if you search on Google, Morro Bay video or something of that sort, it'll pop up in Google search also.
Oh, okay. Great, thanks.
Yeah.
Anything, John, for Casey?
No?
Okay. Thank you, Casey, for a great job.
Thank you
very much. Okay, John?
There was just a couple other items that I wanted to kind of review with you. We are following the media plan, which you guys approved several months ago. As Casey mentioned, a big component of that effort right now is Google AdWords, YouTube advertising, and Facebook advertising, which is all targeted to the degree that Casey just explained. You know, it's the drive market within a five-hour radius, predominantly L.A., San Francisco, and the Valley. We also, coming up, we'll be looking at an effort with SanJoseMercuryNews.com and also LATimes.com, which is on your plan. Just to let you know, we're currently on Visit California, the California visitor site, and also Sunset.com as well. What we're running right now is a strong call to action contest, a Morro Bay Getaway, which you saw the creative for that. We've had over 1,400 entries for that contest up to this point, which is pretty strong. And the nice thing about that is that they have to sign up for a newsletter to enter the contest. So that's also 1,400 that will add to the newsletter database as well for the consumer side of it. And I think probably one of the more important things is that I know Mark had addressed this with you. I think it's important to I know that you formed a creative subcommittee. I think it'd be good for me to get with you guys fairly soon. I'd like to talk about branding slogan, some direction on where we're going, and then also my goal would be to have a bank of ads that we would be able to utilize that might be targeted demographically. You know, if it's a nature ad, so if it's going in Outside Magazine or Sierra, we'd have a particular ad for that. We'd have a particular ad, you know, obviously something we could pull in events and get that going so we don't miss any opportunities. The San Francisco Chronicle one was not a case for that, but it's a good example of setting up a system. And you guys, I think some of you remember how we used to have a system set up. If we had a fire sale, we had a committee that could, there was a certain amount of leeway that committee had without violating the Brown Act to go ahead and move forward on something. So, and we do have a fairly large contingency fund that, you know, we could utilize for those purposes. So, how we want to facilitate that, I'm happy to call, you know, the subcommittee and get a meeting together and you know, maybe we start by just a general discussion. I will tell you that part of my recommendation, and it certainly is just a recommendation, if we don't want to do it, it's certainly we can come up with our ideas, but I think you might want to revisit Discover Your Better Nature. The only reason I say that is that you've spent hundreds of thousands of dollars on that brand. It's a strong brand. It's one that was not developed by me, but one of my associates that is now retired in Mexico that used to live in Morro Bay. That lucky guy, but you know, he worked for Disney a number of years, and again, when we design ads and we do those types of things, I think we're going to need some sort of general theme. I'm not real comfortable with just Discover Morro Bay because I feel like that, you know, I had an advertising class when I was at school, and I never forgot this lesson the teacher told me, and I probably shared it with you guys over the years. But if you can put a competitor's ad on your headline or your branding statement and it works, then you haven't done a good job. I think it would be, you know, you could put Discover Pismo Beach or Discover Monterey or Discover Carmel. It'd be real hard for Pismo Beach to say Discover Your Better Nature in Pismo Beach. It'd be real hard for San Luis Obispo to say that. Yet for Morro Bay, it makes a lot of sense because that's one of our great attributes. And of course, it's a double meaning too. It's a better nature is also making you feel good. But anyway, I'm not trying to sell it today, but that is one topic that I would like to discuss with the creative subcommittee. Certainly, we can come up with something else, but I think we need that. We need to get a stronger brand.
I'd like to keep us in order. So, Jane, any questions for John?
No questions.
Alex?
I like the idea of putting ads, but I have also one question. You know, ad tend to get fade away or get, you know, over time needs to be updated.
Oh, absolutely.
Right. So, but I'm all for that. I think that's a good idea because, you know, it's easy nowadays to get right away if you're already prepared to get into any advertising, like what happened with San Francisco situation.
And I think also, too, that, and we'll certainly address this in the subcommittee, but, you know, the reality is, although we kind of start with big, full-page, nice four-color ads to look at the concept, we very rarely ever run those. You know, what we're really looking at now is to maybe start with that full-page ad, but make sure that it's able to go down into a banner ad, because
right,
that's really
right,
predominantly what we're advertising. And to have that theme, because that theme also equates to what you do on YouTube, what you do on Facebook. But, no, I agree that it needs to stay fresh.
And I want to thank you for the website. I think we're doing a better job than we did before.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I have a few questions and some comments, and I agree with you about getting together with a creative. We did have a creative subcommittee before. It worked really well. I think you presented us with, you know, six shots, and we chose three or something and kind of actually married everything together as a board and then ended up with banners of that and rack cards of that, and it was just cross-branding that worked really well for us. So I think you're right on the target with that. I do have some questions. First of all, we discussed this last time when Mark was here. It would be really nice if, with the presentations, that we had overheads, because folks at home and folks in the audience have no idea what we're talking about in terms of all these numbers that we just went over. They're like, it's, you know, numbers in, numbers out, because the visual was, well, it's advertising. The visual speaks louder than anything. So if in our presentations we can somehow get back to that, I'm not sure, and maybe Casey can show, you know, some of the Pinterest things and things like that that she's doing, because it's so important, because then our business community can pick up on it and take it, jump
sure.
from there,
yeah,
which helps us.
We can, you know, have a little portion of a PowerPoint to be able to present.
That would be so awesome. I would really appreciate that, and I think it would be good for our community as well. And then I'd love to see, in terms of, I know we have to move towards a committee and get all those ads established, but when we do that, if we can show maybe, you know, we're going to be running this ad in Google Ads or something like that, and then show that, so that if there's something particular that a business can leverage, then maybe they can do that too, because with these opportunities that Merchants Association stuff is presenting, then maybe there can be some kind of cross partnership with our local businesses to help to strengthen them. And then I think we established a creative subcommittee, and I think it may have been, I don't want to throw anybody under the bus and onto a committee they don't want to be on, but I could be wrong. I thought it was myself, Karen, and maybe Jane, but I could totally be off base with that, so stop me, someone. And I think we did at the last meeting. And then on the website, I was on there yesterday, and I noticed that when you go over to About Morro Bay and you click on About Morro Bay, the drop-down bar for that, I was going to actually mention it to Rick if you can shoot him an email, the drop-down bar on that says Harbor Festival and Oyster Festival. It doesn't tell us, like, history or something like that. So that just happened. I don't think it's anything that's been there a long time, because it wasn't like that a little bit ago. So something got crossed in the community.
I'll have him look into that.
Yeah. And I think that the website is doing really good. The stats are up, and I think that that's reflected in our TOT that our treasurer will go across. And it's so important to have that active and looking good and sharp, and I think that, you know, that's helping. I appreciate the efforts from all of you on that and the crossing that you're doing. And I love the Discover thing. So I think we need to look at how focus. That's what I like.
Karen.
So it is Joan, Jane, and I. Email us. We'll get together and do a creatives.
I know how to do that. I will get one.
Could put together, and I think it's something we could share. You don't have to do three copies of what we have now, so we can see what to build off of. That would be a help too for the first meeting.
Okay.
In terms of branding, I mean, I think that I don't know that we. I could be wrong, but I'm not sure that Discovery or Better Nature was dropped per se. I think we shortened it for our campaigns the last couple of years to Discover. So I don't think we would have a problem incorporating that again in some of the areas. But in terms of spending a lot of time at this point trying to develop a new brand, or going, not necessarily going back to that one, but are we going to incorporate that or parts of it again in a new brand? I think we're getting close now to, well, that's a bit optimistic. But since we are moving in terms of changing our executive director, that's going to be something that person needs to be involved in. But in terms of creative, so we don't miss opportunities and we're on spot and on time, absolutely. And I think what Joan was saying in terms of seeing creatives maybe beforehand as opposed to after the fact, mm-hmm. In our monthly meetings, this is what the spots we have coming up, so that other businesses in town can leverage off of, would be very helpful.
Yeah, I think ideally what I would want to accomplish with the subcommittee would be to, you know, even if it is temporary, you know, we readopt a brand that's a little more defined. And I do agree the executive director would certainly want to have an input in that, but they would also, I hope, would rely on the advertising agency to help them, you know, determine that as well. And then out of that subcommittee would be where we would have pre-approved ads and a schedule. Just as we have a media plan, we'd have a creative schedule to go along with that, which makes everybody's life easier. We would also then maybe have, like, as I said, two or three options for that are pre-approved, not only by the subcommittee but by the board, that we could share with the constituency. So if they wanted to utilize any part of that creative, again, that's another aspect of this brand. You know, we have a lot of, you know, larger hotels advertising. I was encouraged to see Discover Your Better Nature in the job, you know, in part of the job description for the executive director. That, again, just we get everybody saying the same thing and on the same page. And I think the subcommittee could be very helpful in that. I'll send you a notice tomorrow or today. Or see what works for everybody anyway.
Anything else, Karen? Nick? John?
Okay.
Thank you, John. Sure. Thank you for all your hard work. I appreciate it very much.
Thank you.
And tell Rick thanks. Have fun in Vegas. Yeah. Hopefully he brings back some cool stuff. Yeah, exactly.
Put a hold on your credit card.
Yeah. Okay, moving on to the treasurer's report. Mr. John Myers.
Okay. Last month you said you wanted to include the TOT numbers in the report, so let's start there. There's nothing but good news here, and I think probably the good news in TOT is reflective of nothing but the outstanding work your treasurer has been doing.
I'm going to give all the credit to John.
And the VP. Seriously, I mean, the month of November was an outstanding month, up 15%. It left an additional $1 million of revenue in the hands of the hoteliers in the city. I haven't kept, we just got this yesterday, so I haven't done all the calculations yet, but I think important to notice is year-to-date occupancy has grown from 63% last year to an average of 67% for the 5 months this year. And most happy to me is that our budget forecast was based on a forecast of a 10% increase annually in TOT, and we're tracking at a 9.7% increase, so we're very, very close to budget, so that looks good. But I know I would be curious from some of the hoteliers on the board if they can get some good ideas of why November turned out to be such a good month.
There's weather.
Yeah. I hate to say it, but a drought is great for the beach towns.
Yeah.
I mean, a drought is terrific for us. There's no snow. And it, you know, yeah, no snow and, yeah.
Mm. I've always said I think weather plays a huge part in business because people that live in California, you'd think that they're made of sugar. They're going to melt when it rains. They just don't travel as much. And it's something, a trend I've seen. The whole time I've been at, so, and that's an uncontrollable thing. Nobody can control the weather. So,
excuse me.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's, and again, I think it's, there's many pieces to the puzzle, I think, but I think weather is one piece that does help attribute to good business.
That's interesting. Good. Okay. Getting to the other part of the report, and there's a couple, if anybody in the audience has a couple of extra copies of the financials on the table here next to Peter. This is, and I just got this too, I don't have it in soft copy yet, so I just distributed it this morning in hard copy. But this is the beginning. We've made good progress with the CPA firm, with George, over the last 30 days, in spite of the fact of the holidays and in spite of the fact that George moved offices. We've made some good progress. This is still needs work, but it's a year-to-date number through the end of November of a format of a financial statement, which just needs some cleaning up, and then I think it's going to be pretty darn usable. But we, you know, you've got your income, your revenues broken into the three sources of revenue. The numbers are incorrect. George has been mapping numbers across from the old format, and they haven't mapped across necessarily correctly. So the general fund visitor center revenues is not zero. It's included in the assessment numbers. So I've got to back that out and move those across to the proper place.
And this is for the month, actually, you've got November through November then?
It's July through November.
Okay. Yeah.
This is for the first 5 months.
5 months.
Yeah. So what you're looking at is you've got your revenues and your expenses for destination marketing, and that's broken into expenses that might occur at the Tourism Bureau office or what we call agency-directed expenses, John's expenses. And then you've got regional marketing broken up the same way. Obviously, in the first one, most of those expenses are going to be agency-directed. Under regional marketing, most of those expenses are going to be bureau-directed expenses, but there may be, you know, agency expenses in there as well. And then carrying on to the second page, you've got the Tourism Bureau office and the Visitor Center broken out separately. And we start, you know, salaries and then rents and insurance and so forth. And everything follows in the same sequence. There's still some cleaning up to do. You know, there's things like Art Ministry is shown up as a separate line. It's not supposed to be. George didn't know what to do with some of these things, so we just left them on. We've got to do some cleaning up. Secondly, the budget will be reflected now down the right-hand side. And this is moderately close to the budget, but again, he was taking our budget format and trying to put it into a different format.
And this is a 12-month budget.
It's a 12-month budget because we budget on a 12-month basis. Yes. The two points on this. One was once we clean this format up, this will be the budgeting form for next year. So we will budget on each one of these line items, which is a much more detailed budget than we've done in the past. Mm-hmm. And that second question as to what Karen just went to is, do we want to do a monthly budget or an annual budget? I mean, I would like to get to a monthly budget, but it's going to be a little hard to do without a lot of without experience to go back to and see what we actually spent, you know, in November of last year or something like that. So we need a years of experience before you can really do that.
Well, you know, just some I've seen budgets where they just take the annual and divide it by 12 and have that in a line so you can kind of get an idea. It's not going to be exactly accurate, but it kind of gives you a feel for what we might. I don't know if another column would fit in there or not, but.
Oh, so we can do whatever we want. I think that might be a good starting point.
Yeah, and I think that's exactly it. It's a good starting point, and then when you know you have big expenses in particular months, like we've had in the past, either with Saver or VCB, although that may be changing now, then you can make those adjustments in those months.
Exactly, so. I mean, rent, you can do that very easily mm-hmm. with. The big expenses, like Karen points out, Saver, we know approximately when we're going to make those payments. Mm-hmm. We can put those things in payroll. And it'll be a little bit of a learning experience over a year or two until we get this down. But
John, you also can maybe add like a percentage. Is it actual versus plan? So give us a little percentage of how much we spend.
Yeah, if we can do a monthly, I would say yes. If, you know, if it's 30, it's 11% of annual.
Yeah, I understand that.
Yeah.
I'm talking about monthly. If you go to that direction,
yeah,
it would
absolutely.
Be nice to see
absolutely.
That because then it gives you where we spend, you know, how we're spending the money.
Right. And then the last thing, you know, on the as far as this statement concerns, you know, the $30,000 financial contingency, you know, the way that works, it's a financial, and I'd like the board to consider this going forward because it's picking up in Joan's comment from a while ago that, you know, since we're pretty close to budget on the revenue side, the assessment funds, the need for the financial contingency diminishes through the year because we're close to budget. Joan had suggested a reserve, and I would like to suggest that we consider going forward in a future discussion that we look at this financial contingency as we get close to the end of the year, turn more into a reserve, because I think what we really need to do is rather than spend it this year, if we start seeing a dip in business, we want to make sure we've got some ammunition back there that we can start spending more money to generate more business as an industry might take a dip. So just to put out there, but I think that's something we ought to probably decide to down the road accept as a board.
Now, are you talking about collateral under regional marketing? And or the one under destination marketing also?
Where are you looking?
If you look under destination marketing, it's at 84930 collateral. Is that?
No. Actually, it's a budget item, so it's not really on here.
Oh, okay.
It would be in the budget column.
No, normally, you know, financial planners are saying 3 to 6 months of reserve, and I think it's good idea we have that. I'm glad you're thinking about this. I think we should do that down the line, you know, build up that reserve. You know, you never know. We have staff change. We have recruitment. You know, stuff shows up that we didn't plan, and I think having that, it helps.
And I think that's exactly what we'd be looking for is it 90 days, is 180 days of reserve that we like, and, you know, it'll take us a few years to build to that level, but let's decide what it should be and work towards it.
I think we also need to discuss how that's apportioned, where that's apportioned from in our funding mechanism. And to me, I mean, my first thought is out of bid funds solely, but it would depend on the board. So how we apportion that as well as part of the mechanism.
Yeah, I think that's correct. And I would tend to, I think you're correct, yeah.
Can I just ask a real simple question?
Let's go in lines because we've all kind of go. But go ahead, and Jane, I'm going to start with you because I start with you on the right. So go ahead. Yeah, if we go in order.
It's probably already answered. I'm always looking at related figures. So, John, on the second page, we have visitor center, which is the 6100 series expenses. And we have $37,447.41 expended July through November 13th. Okay. But the total budget for the visitor center is $113,950, right? Okay, so here's where I get confused, because up on the first page, we have a budget for visitor center at $100,000. That's where I get confused.
Okay, those are general funds awarded to us to run to the bureau to run the visitor center by the city council.
Okay, so
if there's,
I understand. So what I'm saying is, so the total visitor we're budgeting, it's going to cost us $3,950, or I'm sorry, $13,950 more than the funds were being allotted. So that $13,950 earmarked is coming out of where?
As you recall, the arrangement in the past was the T-bid funded $50,000
Well, I'm just saying, is that coming out of the regional funds, or is it coming out of?
It's coming out of assessment funds.
Okay, that's all I needed to know.
But just to follow up on what you're saying there, and a little bit what Alex was saying, that 5 months' experience says we've spent $37,000 running the visitor center. We've got $114,000 budgeted. The actual run rate is, you know, right around $7,500 a month. So that says we're probably going to spend about $90,000 this year in running the visitor center, which means we'll be way under budget, and we had already cut the budget by $40,000. So we expect we will probably save the city about $60,000 a year in running the visitor center.
So bottom line, we're running a very efficient visitor center down there.
But when we get new signage, will that come out of visitor center? Okay, that's all I want to know.
Which, you know, leads to another discussion item. And if we can run the visitor center for, let's just say, $90,000, keep round numbers, and the council has given us $100,000 in the past, I mean, I like to go to council and ask for the same $100,000 again, and we can use some of those excess funds to enhance the signage. Or I was actually talking to Ed the other day at the visitor center, and those people, they've got some good ideas that would enhance the visitor center. And I just think the visitor center, I'd like to always kind of had the dream that you're looking at Sunset Magazine, and when they say tour Morro Bay, you got to see the visitor center because it's really a good visitor center. And so I'd like to, you know, maybe we suggest to council that we, you know, keep the $100,000, we invest the extra $10,000 in enhancing the overall customer experience at the visitor center.
Okay, Jane, any further questions to the treasurer? No. Alex? Joan? Questions for John?
First of all, John, thank you. for all your work and your collaboration with George Ross, and this is looking very good. I agree with your suggestion that we take a year or 18 months or even to me up to 2 years before we move towards that monthly, you know, setup, and that would give us, I think, good, really, really, really good solid information to use as we set ourselves up. Regarding the visitor center, I agree totally with you on your idea of continuing to ask for the same amount of funding, and I know we're getting into discussion here, but I just think that the visitor center should be always continued to be enhanced and upgraded and present itself, just like we do with any business, present itself with new, fresh ideas and fresh faces. It can't be stale or no one's going to go in there, and that's our job, is to continue to always make sure that everything is fresh and fluffy and sunny when it comes to tourism. So I appreciate that, and I like the new format. I do have a question about, we have on here, and maybe it's because they started, you know, billing after November or something, but I'm wondering about TJA on here. I see a BCA line. I'm wondering if we just have TJA and BCA or how that's working. So that's a question for you. I'm not sure how that's working.
The BCA line on here is really, it's just a single line. It's because bills continued to come in after July 1st.
Okay.
And I didn't want to mix TJA bills on here with BCA bills.
Gotcha.
I think the last bill came in August, and it was pretty small in August. So that reflects the end of the billing from BCA for our prior fiscal year.
Okay.
So probably, well, for next year, we'll just drop that line off the,
right,
the income statement. And everything then probably under agency-directed expenses would be TJA or mental marketing, unless we, you know, engage another advertising agency,
okay,
from an additional one or a substitute one down the road.
And then would you suggest that we break those out, TJA, mental marketing, X, or do you suggest that we keep them encapsulated?
My sense would probably be break them out, because I'd like to know
good
how much we spent with each of our major vendors.
I like that too, but I just wanted to see what your sense was in terms of workload. So,
thank you.
Right, just along that line, just so you know.
Yeah, please, John.
We're certainly happy to work in any way you want, but just so you know, the other accounts that I partner with mental marketing on, we charge one invoice that comes from me.
Okay, all right.
That way you don't have multiple, you know, trying to figure out, well, this was creative or whatever. So we work together on that. So you get one invoice, and it would come from TJA. So you wouldn't need to have mental marketing on there, but.
Well, I think this financial, which is account-driven, so you have to set up account. So once you give a number for that account, and then you basically, yes, if you bill in one, I don't think so we can break it down. It would be just under one account number. So I think you're using WordPerfect, right? Which software are we using?
QuickBooks,
yeah. QuickBook is driven by account, so
yeah, I mean, it's fine if it's there, but you won't get any bills from mental marketing.
Right.
Yeah, and
okay,
it's not here. It's because everything comes in from you.
So I just think it's more convenient for you guys.
Yeah, we didn't know that.
Work
so
our own situation out. So.
Good information. Thank you. Yep.
Along the same line, what I was going to say is, if you look under regional marketing, it just right now it just says events, community events.
Right.
When we It will be broken out. You'll see the 4th of July. You'll see Oyster Festival. You'll see each of the events. And then if there's enough spending under an event, it'll be broken down even more detail than that. And then as we all know, our experience this year was out of the regional money, we granted some money to 4th of July. And then under the destination budget, we spent a lot of additional money marketing the 4th of July. So you're going to see 4th of July under both regional and destination, and because we got to know how much money of the assessment money we actually put into 4th of July versus how much of the regional money we put into 4th of July.
One thing, basically, so everybody kind of understands just on an easy business time, but every single bill that comes through the Bureau is getting coded as it should. So if there's a bill that, you know, comes in and has social media on it and, you know, events, those get broken out independent. So we can go back, since it's a startup, we can go back and actually see exactly where we're spending the money down to the penny.
Yeah.
So just back end. John, anything else? Are we on Karen? Where'd we end up?
Yeah. Just a couple of comments and questions. Great job. You are really drilling down. I know this has been a huge project for you, so thank you very much. When we take the total expenses now at the 5 months ending November of last year, extrapolated out to a 12-month, we're looking at approximately $540,000 in expenses, way below budget. Any idea? Do we have projects coming up that are going to absorb that $300,000? Are we just running a very lean ship at this point? And maybe this might be something that Michelle and Nick could weigh in also with your meetings with Karen. I'm just wondering because we are so far below budget at this point.
Yeah, and that's exactly correct. And part of the reason we need to, you know, I need to get these things better and pretty quick. The answer to the question is yes. there are things like the $40,000 we've allocated for events gets allocated this first quarter. So mm-hmm. there's a big chunk of $40,000 that goes out all at once. The other part of the answer to the question is yes. We're probably not spending as much as maybe we could in some areas of direct marketing. You know, and I don't have John's budget in front of us, but I think there is, you know, his budget goes a little bit like this, too. So there will be some agency-directed expenses, which may pick up a little bit more in the spring. But I think once we get this thing down, then what we really need to do is do a forecast. So you've got a budget and a forecast.
Right.
So you can see by category where we think we're going to be over and where we think we're going to be under, so we can get closer to hitting budget in all areas, not over or under in all areas at the end of the year.
Keep in mind also in working with QuickBooks that you can create detail within an account. You can also pull vendor reports. So you can actually get detail by vendor also. So, you know, that can be a big help in terms of looking at who we're paying money to and how it's going out. So that's all.
Good point. Nick?
Everything's pretty much covered that I wanted to ask.
John, anything else before? I have two things real quick, but if you have anything.
I have a couple of questions for myself, yes.
Okay. You might. So, which one of my questions was to the budget subcommittee. I know that there had been discussion. We had talked about a mid-year review of the budget. So we're at January, which I would think that would mean we need to have.
May I? Yeah, we discussed having a mid-year budget review, but we did hold off while the chair of the budget review process, which is our treasurer, was so involved with getting the actual report ready for City Council. And, you know, that is largely in part a full mid-year budget review. And so I know that when it's released to the full board this week, we'll be able to, you know, have everybody take a look at it as it's released for general information to the public with the City Council meeting. So, you know, while it doesn't, I guess, not appear at this meeting, we can always, you know, put it on for further discussion at the next. But, you know, it's part of what's going on in terms of the Tourism Bureau report to City Council.
Let me just remind you, though, with that account to council, it's 15 minutes. We only have 15 minutes.
Right. So, well,
so I just want to remind everybody, we will be rolling out, you'll get the report and everything, but I just want you to know, we originally, when we started, I think it was a two-hour presentation, and we've had to condense it down to 15 minutes per council's request.
Understood, but what I'm saying is that whole budgeting process that's going through there, John's been working very hard on it, and, you know, the timing and everything that he's got going on, we're, you know, holding off. We can put it for February.
Well, and that was, I just didn't know if you guys were even talking about even doing it. That was my question, is it on your guys'
radar?
Yeah.
Radar.
Radar.
Yeah, I mean, I think we ought to, February-ish, we should probably sit down, because, truthfully, we need to by March, we need to start the budget process.
And that's why I just wanted, that was exactly why I'm just bringing it up. I have no rush. I know everybody's got a million things. We just got out of the holiday week and everybody was out. I just wanted to bring it up and making sure it was on the radar.
I would just remind the board that between January and March, we have to have that stakeholder meeting, and we need to also have that as a future agenda item, scheduling that stakeholder meeting for March likely. And at that, we usually present a budget, and so that means that February we're going to have to really drill down.
And I think we've done stakeholder at April as well, so March or April. Yeah.
We have asked for an extension on it because we hired a new ED, so last year we did, I believe, do it in April. So, you know, we can likely go with a full year and ask for an extension on it, but it's something that we have to discuss for sure.
Yeah. Okay, any further comments? Thank you, John, for all your hours and hours on work on this stuff. It's huge. It's a huge part of what this business is, so thank you for all your tireless hours. Does anybody have any other questions for him before we close it? Okay. Yeah. Update from the Executive Director Hiring Committee, and I'm going to turn that over to Karen Biagimi, and she'll update the full board on where we're at.
Well, I'm honored to be listed as an Executive Director. Hiring. Mm-hmm. Subcommittee.
Oh, updated from
we
the...
Have, we have. We have finally gotten some advertising in place. And finally gotten through the holidays, and as a result are beginning to get a good flow of applicants and resumes. We had a meeting of the hiring subcommittee, which is Michelle and Joan and myself, on Tuesday of this week, and we went through the first 14 applications submitted, of which we chose four to move forward in the process. And letters have been sent to both the four, and I've gotten positive responses back from all of them that they're delighted to be moving forward, and also to the 10. So we're moving forward. Applications are coming in at a much better pace now. I mean, we literally had 14 applications as of Tuesday, and we've probably maybe not quite doubled that this week, but almost. I mean, it's phenomenal, the difference between trying to get applications in December during the holidays and getting applications now. Yeah. Plus, we also have a much stronger presence out there in terms of our advertising. So hopefully by the end of this month, we will have a second review of the remaining applications that come in. We've also extended the deadline for applications to the end of this month, to January 31st. We're hoping to have our interview set up. This may be optimistic, but we're hoping to have them set up by February's bureau meeting, so the second week of February. If not the second week, at least by the middle of the month, depending on everybody's schedule. I think we have some very strong applications at this point. We are trying to focus our search now in people with destination marketing experience, and like I say, we've had some very strong applications come in, so it's looking very positive.
Part of a plan that we had put together was to ask the board for, because we'll likely be moving towards some interviews in February, we were going to discuss with the board in an email plan that we had put together some dates for interviews, and we were going to poll you because it has to be a noticed meeting because of Brown Act. It's interesting, it'll be a noticed closed session meeting to go into interviews for the ED, I know. And so we are going to poll you for some meetings for the likely the third or fourth, I think we discussed the third or fourth Thursday and Friday of the month of February, so keep that in mind, please. Keep an open mind to those dates as we move forward, and of course that will also be determined by applicant availability. So just wanted to put those dates out there for kind of a little ping pong broad window for you. And that's my addition.
Does anybody have any questions for the committee? Jane.
Yeah, I was just curious why we never used a recruitment service.
I had brought it up, and the three of us decided to might be too pricey.
Just money. What was the cost?
What we could get in terms of advertising. We're advertising on the Western Association of CBC members. We're advertising in, we have two, the first two Sundays of this month, we have advertisements in the LA Times and I think it's the San Jose Mercury. It was just called the Bay Area News Group, but I think that included the San Jose. On both of those sites, we have 30-day submissions on their online job search. We are listed on Career Builder. We're listed on the Visit San Luis Obispo website under jobs. We're, of course, listed under our own website under jobs. So we thought at this point, you know, rather than spend the money for a recruitment firm, that we would, since it's a somewhat more specific than just an executive director, it's the marketing and tourism destination, tourism also marketing, that we would be better off running our own ad and then directing traffic back to our detailed job description.
So my question is that we don't pay for a recruitment person unless we hire one of their applicants. So why did you make that decision?
May I? We also made that determination based off of a decision that we made as a board in closed session, which was we had a full open discussion and decided as a board that we would advertise in the exact places that Karen had just mentioned. That's what the three of us were tasked with. We were never tasked with going out to a recruitment agency and hiring a recruitment agency, and we can only do what we have as the will of the board.
But if you guys thought that it would be important to do that, because I know I had mentioned it about going to recruitment, and I wasn't on the impression that we were just limited to that. I think we were under the impression that we would use your best efforts to find applicants. And if best efforts meant also just putting it out to recruitment people, we can still do that. It doesn't cost us anything unless we hire that person. Isn't that true?
We vote. Sorry.
And I have not researched recruitment agencies, headhunter agencies, so I can't answer your question. Assuming that you're right, you know, I think we determine the direction of the board, and that's how we proceeded. And I don't remember determining to go out and use recruitment agencies. So, as a board, so
in closed session, it never came up.
As Joan just mentioned, so
in closed session, it was really never brought up. So when I brought it up in the subcommittee, it was just the three of us that I brought the idea up, but it didn't move any further than an idea.
Well, because we discussed that we didn't have the will of the board to do that. We had, you know, voted as a board or determined as a board that, you know, we had determined a plan as a board, and the board had asked us to execute that plan, which was place these the ad is approved, take the job description as approved, take the ad and the job description and release it in these places, and then come back to us with the applicants. And that's exactly, we stuck with your plan.
I just make a comment. I think let's just move on the way you have it, but I think it should be part of any recruitment in future to look at agencies, because their focus for certain job, and you know, think about what we've gone through with Karen, the cost, it really justifies. We shouldn't be worried about the whatever percentage we pay, because you're going to end up painting on the other side. So I'm not against what I think we're doing is fine. Let's just move forward. Hopefully we find the right person. But I think should be part of our plan, either if this doesn't work so far or looking in the future, look at the agencies as well, because I think it's free, and they usually do their search based on what we want, and so the candidate you get usually is pretty close to what we're looking for. So I think it's a good idea. I'm not against it, but I think where we are, we don't want to stop. We should just move forward, and if it doesn't work out and we don't find the right person, then I think we should go back to look at some agency too.
I think that's a good thing. I think in the future, if it would have came in at that closed session meeting, then we wouldn't have kind of proceeded with what we did. Unfortunately, I brought it up and kind of after the fact, and we didn't want to get off of what board directed. I think what we should do is we've got that January 31st close date. Let's look and see what we have. And if the full board will be interviewing, if we go through those, however many applicants we get, 10 to 12 that we end up interviewing, and we're not happy, I think we need to say we're not happy and possibly look at a recruiter at that point. Hopefully, I'm pretty confident we'll get some good. From the four that we passed through yesterday, I was very excited to see some good ones, because we were a little nervous there at the beginning going, oh, my God, nothing's coming in. But, it was the holidays, and I don't think people are out. A lot of people are going, oh, I'm just going to wait until the new year to start my new
year. There's a lot of people out of job. We should be able to.
So heads up. So we definitely hear you. Anything further on the hiring committee that anything else want to be said? Anybody else? Going once, going twice? Okay. So we will close that, move forward to events committee to grant funding requests. So I'm going to give a little background real quick on this and then move it to the board of what we need. Last year, this board granted $40,000. Basically, they told the grant funding committee, which last year was made up of Alex, myself, and John Myers, and that the board authorized us to review all of the applicants, and then we took those applications and granted the $40,000 from there. We had worked with the ED. She had given us a recommendation, and then we sat down and we granted those funds to those groups that had requested money and authorized that. So today what I'm looking for is not to hash out individually the application. The process is open right now to the public. It closes February 28th. So what I want to do is have a committee in place so that when those applications all come through, I'd like this board to authorize the dollar amount and authorize this committee to go ahead and grant those funds, as well as I think that the grant funding committee needs to look at the events topic completely. Hence, Peter started the calendar. I think this committee needs to look at the events in general. I don't think we should just be funding these events. It's about support all year and to the hoteliers. Jane's brought up a lot of good points about there's not a hand and a left hand and right hand working. If we're funding these committees or these events, there needs to also be in front, there needs to be some promotions and advertising on the hotel side of things and some partnership on the hotel side of things beforehand. And so I think to task this committee with everything would be a much better idea. So all of the event stuff is kind of working with staff and working with the grant and working with these actual event producers.
So I think just throw a number like 40,000, it doesn't make sense, because it may be lower or higher, but I think we should work it down from the bottom up rather than just put in a number and try to just, yes.
You know what, I personally, being on the grant committee last year, I really would like to see us not giving a lot of cash out. I think what we're seeing now, after our treasurer has went and line item things, we're spending a lot of money on supporting these events. We're spending press release money, social media money, Facebook. We're spending money for these events. So I think that's something we need to keep in mind also. It's hard, but each event is different. And the 4th of July, and that's why I don't want to get into specific events here, but the 4th of July, if they
didn't
don't have that cash.
Adopt an events policy.
Exactly.
And can't we just review our events policy that's already adopted within the events subcommittee, or as a board maybe review it and then go from there, look to see if maybe there's some motions to adjust it. But at this point we have an events policy adopted, so as long as the events subcommittee is pertaining to those guidelines, I don't see why we have to keep going over these things. I mean, It probably took us 3 months to adopt the events policy, so let's just stick with that policy. And I think we all have a copy of it. We can review it, and if we have a problem with it, get it to, you know, adjustments in on the agenda and review it.
Well, I think there was two issues in there. One is, number one, you know, the existing event, do we want to support them financially? That's number one. Number two is, you know, do we want to allocate any money to new event, which they may not be. That's right. I understand. But right, what we did last year, we had $40,000 which allocated, and we basically tried to distribute the $40,000, you know, to the people who were requesting. Now, if we want to do the same way, or we want to increase the $40,000, say to $50,000 or $60,000, and do the same way we did last year, we took that money and we allocated basically between all the people that requested. Now, if this system is what we want to do, I have no problem with it. But with the way we did it last year, this is how we process it. Do we want to continue that or not? I think the board should make that decision. Do we want to do this? And then, of course, we have a guideline based on the procedure we wrote to allocate to everyone. But I'm not sure if, you know, this is how we want to do it, because a lot of people are saying, why do we support in the existing event continues every year?
I'm sorry, didn't the city allocate $40,000 that we're charged with giving out
Absolutely.
To community events?
Yeah, when we went to them, I just want to remind the board, and ask them for additional money, and we got that additional 50-something thousand, 58, thank you, everyone. We got that additional 58,000. We had said that we would earmark $40,000 towards event funding, and with that, we did give cash. You know, I don't know. There's always going to be additional marketing that goes on around any event that happens. There's always going to be an amount of marketing that we have to do as a destination around any event that happens in our community, and we need to determine what that is. I mean, it's always going to cost us money to add every event to the webpage. It's always going to cost us money to do a Pinterest of an event or a Facebook of an event. It's always going to cost us that. But some of these events, i.e. the Kite Festival, will not go on without cash funding. There's, you know, a lot of these events have zero way of collecting funds to keep them sustainable, but they have to put bathrooms out there for 700 people. And so I think the money comes out of the regional funding, but I also think that the hoteliers have benefit. So I personally don't see anything wrong with the cash grant coming out of the regional funding and with marketing destination support for Heads in Beds coming out of the destination marketing bid funds. So I think there has to be a healthy balance, but I can see how it works hand in hand together.
Okay. Can I say something?
Yes.
Okay. You're talking about grant funding. We have 40,000. We have grant funding guidelines. Mm-hmm. Grant funding funds events. That has nothing to do with an event committee that can work with a calendar, that can work with space in the city, that can drive proposed events for winter and off months. Okay? So one events committee can actually be separated from grant funding or be part of it. We are under budget for marketing. That doesn't mean that if we go out there and say, oh, look, we have X amount of space for a bridge tournament, for a Maj tournament, for, you know, a rock show or something like this, and we pull together things and it's sent out to marketing people or promoters that come in, and we can go, hey, we need marketing for this, this, and this. We don't need to be under budget for our marketing, and we can also pull more money in to entice people to have events here. But nobody's looking at this in the forwards, okay? We're looking at what we've done in the past, what might come up for the future, but not how we can market with them For example, in April, the same weekend as the festival in the Kites, there's also the San Luis Obispo Marathon. There's no reason why we can't jump into that. There's no reason why we're not working for something. They get booked solid. Why are they giving the rooms to Paso and to Cambria and not to us? Nobody is looking at that. Yes, maybe we'll have a qualified DOT to do something like that. But again, if you even looked at this marketing study, in it, there's something very, very important, and that is the setup of the entire group. And that is, you have a CEO, you have an event director, and you have a marketing director. They work hand in hand, okay? So my thing is, we need to relook at what we're doing, either jump on the bandwagon, get an events committee that can also look at grant funding, also request from the board to go ahead and get more funds, or just leave it as it is, which is fine with me if that's what you want to do.
Okay, so we've got two topics now that have opened up. So first, let's address the one, the events committee. Let's just do a little bit of a straw poll. Do we all agree on just doing the $40,000 and doing like what we did last year? We already have the guidelines in place. The guidelines came out from last year. That's where we made the guidelines, was when we looked at the events last year. And then do everything as is, and then task that same thing with this separate events thing, or do we want two separate committees? I was just trying to condense things into, so we don't have all these millions of committees. So
So I'm sorry, just to review last year, you're asking us to release $40,000 to a subcommittee and give them a blanket to spend the $40,000 on any of the events that apply.
Using the guidelines that we as a board established last year. So that's the first thing before us on if we want to go that direction.
Well, if the $40,000 we all agree that is from basically city,
yeah,
and it really makes sense to have the committee do the same thing they did last year and go through it. And I think what Jen said about the, you know, some sort of a event committee, I think that's a separate. All, you know, we need to figure out exactly how we want to do that.
Okay, so before us then right now, then let's just talk about the grant funding requests. Do we want to do what we originally did last year? I'm just going to poll everybody. Jane, do you want to go with the same process we did last year?
As I recall, and I'm getting older, the grant funding committee, and that's what I'm going to call it, the grant funding committee has its guidelines. Promoters have X amount of time to get in their applications. They need to fill it out, and the grant funding committee weeds through it and makes their recommendation to the board, and then the board goes ahead. Okay. No. What you're telling me is that grants funding committee will make all the decision on the $40,000.
That's what we did last year. We had a recommendation from the ED.
All right. So then, okay. So thank you, because okay, as I say, I'm getting older. So now that I fully understand that, I would not be. I do not approve that unless it's a recommendation to the board.
Okay. Then the full board.
To the full board to approve the events that, you know, to be able to ask questions. Unless I'm sitting on that committee.
Okay.
If I'm sitting on the committee, then fine. Otherwise, forget it.
Okay. Alex.
I think last time we had a guideline, we had made it system in place that worked, and I'm not seeing, I mean, definitely we can make a recommendation to the board, but doesn't matter because this is $40,000, we have to spend it, and we as a three member of the board, we probably made a proper decision except someone, and also we did actually present it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like we didn't present it, we really recommended, mm-hmm, and that's how it worked. So I think the changing the old system not necessarily going to make much difference. That's all I'm saying.
And to remind everybody, what happened with the committee is everybody who applied came to the committee and did their presentations instead of coming before the full board for their presentation.
You so also just to recommendations by the executive director.
And we had recommendations from the executive director.
Which we don't
exactly.
Have.
Exactly. And that's how the process went last year. It went from the ED to the subcommittee. And then we came to the full board and said, this is what we granted. So that was how it worked last year. Joan, just I wanted to clarify that because it didn't seem clarified.
I agree with Jane.
Karen.
I'm confident that the subcommittee and the executive director can make the recommendation.
The recommendation. Nick?
I agree also, but with one caveat is that I don't want to rubber stamp these events every year because a lot of them we haven't even gotten reports back of what they've done. And there were issues with, I'm not going to name any specific events, but there were issues with some of the events that happened. So that's the only thing that's a little bit, I just don't want to get in the habit of, okay, here comes the event, let's rubber stamp it and go through. So, and the other issue, too, sometimes it seems like an event will come forward and we fund them, but then I don't think we keep track of exactly what it is how much money we're actually paying, because they'll come back and say, hey, I need this press release, I need this and that, and we do it without questions asked, and I'm just not sure if we're tallying how much exactly time and effort that we're putting forward as a bureau. So.
And that was my point earlier is one thing I've really learned over the last several months signing my name on checks is all the money that does go out to support to some of these events. Not to say that's our job. That's what we're here to do, is to market and promote. So don't get me wrong. That's what we're here for.
I want to make sure clear. We keep saying this $40,000 come from the city, not from the TBIT.
Right. This is the regional.
So we are forced to give this out anyway, even though I'm not necessarily, not necessary for it, because I think these events should be self-sustained. I'm always been for that, because I think after 5 years, 6 years, why they keep coming back for the money. But at the same time, we know that we have certain events in the city, and if we have that money, except we decided not to spend any, if we have that money, those are the events out there. I mean, we don't have any new ones, and nobody has proposed anything new, which I'd love to see them out there and so we can fund it rather than giving the same existing one. But if the $40,000 we have to spend and the guideline we have, we already established that, so let's stick with the rule. If we want to change the rule, that's fine. But this right now, we do have this in place.
Okay. John is just itching down there. I can see all his notes.
This is bad. I had time to make notes. So first of all, we do not have to spend the $40,000. If we don't have qualified events supplying, we don't have to spend it. We can go give it back to the city or hold it over till next year, do whatever we want to do with it. I think Nick's point is excellent. If somebody hasn't given us the after-event report by now, I don't want to see their application this coming year. If they're not, so I just, there's some names that are automatically off the list right now. I think having been on the committee last year, I realized it was an enormous amount of time that we spent. I mean, it was at least three full days. So I would say if anybody, Jane, wants to be on the committee, everybody who wants to be on the committee can be on the committee as long as there's three people that volunteer. So if five people want to show up in the committee, then that's great, and I think that solves that problem. I think then the committee makes the decision and reports back to the board what the decision was. So if you want to be part of the decision-making process, be part of the committee. But don't have three people spend three full days there making a decision and then come back to the board and all the people who never heard the reports and the requests second-guess what we did. So if you want to be in the committee, be there, and you guys make the decision, report back to the board what it was. And then, and the issue about self-sustained, we talked about that in the grant policy. and we adjusted the policy to reflect that. So I think that's in there. We've already agreed that issue. And then I think at the last meeting, one thing we came up with was, you know, some of the reporting on some of these events may not be exactly correct or complete. And I think we had talked about putting together, and this goes a little bit to what Stacy, who's gone, was talking about in her research. I mean, after these events happen, we should be polling ourselves and say, how many rooms did we actually sell? You know, take a sample of our own hoteliers. I hear many complaints from the retailers that an event or the restaurants that there's an event in town and everybody ate at the event and the restaurant sales just plummeted for the day, or retail sales plummeted because we brought all kinds of vendors in from outside the area to sell at those events. So I think we ought to do an after-action report surveying retail, restaurant, and lodging to find out, as part of our research, to find out exactly what that impact of that event was on us, and that will help us make a better informed decision the following year. So those would be my points. I would say I would recommend to the chair that we just let anybody who wants to volunteer for this thing be on it and give them the authority to make the decision.
Yeah, and I agree completely. Let's maybe poll. Oh, Karen, did you have something else?
I was just going to say, if we do have more than three, if the subcommittee grows, then we'd be
then we have a Brown Act issue.
Publication and Brown Act issues.
So let's first
I think
see. Madam,
if we could just set it at a subcommittee of three. We can change the subcommittee if other people want to be on it, and let the subcommittee make the recommendation, not the recommendations, but what their recommendations are to the board.
So moved.
Follow up.
So moved.
So what I'd like to know right now is who would like to volunteer, Jane, to be on the...
Well, who's on the grant committee now?
Currently, the grant funding committee was Alex, myself, and John Myers.
So who still wants to be on it?
I will have no problem stepping down if somebody else wants to step in my place.
Okay. I have no problem stepping down.
Well, John, if you don't mind, in my opinion, I think it's important that you're on there. Because for budgetary reasons, just for budget.
Yeah, you've already got the budgetary.
Okay. I think that one person from last year should be on there again this year at minimum.
Alex, will you still be on there?
So
I have no need to be on it if you don't want to. But the point is, you know, I have enough to worry about. I don't need that. But if you guys want somebody else, I don't mind.
So Alex is a yes.
Okay, so Jane we know is on it. I mean, if we don't get three people, I'll stay on, but I'm more than happy to step off, is my
Nick,
thing.
Nick, will you stay on it?
Nick was never on it.
I just want to make sure whoever is passionate to be on this, why don't you just raise your hand and be on it, bottom line.
Well, right now Jane's the only one that's asking to be on it. Everybody else is jumping to get off. So...
My family is running several events in this community this year, so I'm tasked with actually boots on the ground. I'm sorry. I'm off.
Well, I'm going to ask, if I'm on it, Alex, would you stay on it? Michelle, would you stay
yes,
on it?
Yes, I will stay
on it. I'll make that motion.
Second.
Good boy.
Okay. Okay. So, any further discussion?
So if Peter, would you be so kind as to read back exactly what our motion is? Do you know what our motion is, Peter? Let's put you in front of the bus here. Here we go.
We didn't have a vote on it.
Yeah, we didn't vote on it.
Was it that member Mendoza moved to create a committee comprised of members?
Grant committee.
A grant committee comprised.
Amini and Jane.
Okay.
Okay, so that is the motion. All in favor. Or no, I'm sorry. We have to have a
motion just to proceed with the under the same format.
Let me just make sure that we understand. It is to proceed under the same format. They have $40,000. They come back to us with their recommendations, right?
They
tell us what they spend it on.
Yeah, they're spending the money.
Yeah. Spend it, baby.
Okay.
That's our job.
So we had a first, we had a second. Do we have any further discussion? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Sorry. Okay, so what that will do, Jane, is we will bring that in. That will be a future agenda item. You need to speak up at the end when we say future agenda item. Okay. Moving on to continued discussion about methods and strategy to build marketing database for the destination website and social media, and this happens every time.
This happens every time our executive director and our advertising agency is gone, and this is something we need to move to the top of the budget. So this is now, again, a future agenda item. And you know what? Let's just move it off till we have a new ED, because they might have some vision and goals on that. So let's move that off till, you know, an April discussion.
Sounds great. Okay. So, declaration of future agenda items. Jane has the first one to add.
Okay, the first one is an events committee. And the second one is, by then we'll have the calendar, precursor calendar.
Okay. I think the calendar will go fall under the events committee, wouldn't it?
Well, it's just that the board would want to see the calendar since it's going to be done by the 1st of February.
Okay, okay. Calendar. Okay. Anything further, Jane? Alex?
I think on event committee, I think we just need to, I like the idea, but I think we need to explore, see if this is how we want to do it, or this is something that we want to...
This is going to be a future agenda item.
Right, right.
So what I'll ask Jane to do is get her concepts and get her whole thing together, and then we'll see that together as a future agenda item and have some full more meat to it.
That's perfect.
Okay.
Okay, get your pen ready,
Madam Chair.
I have signs, a new discussion of forming a subcommittee to discuss the signage to the visitor center, the Tourism Bureau Visitor Center.
I think...
Right, but we needed to have some people work with city staff, and are they going to be on banners or are they going to be permanent signs and that kind of stuff. So we do need a couple people to work with that. So we need to assign some folks. I'd like to know on a future agenda item if we can have a discussion with the AGP to determine what happened. We fund our AGP meetings, and I've noticed that our meetings don't show up on the meeting schedule on the rotating channel 20. Our meetings are not on the rotating meeting the schedule or the menu of meetings that say City Council at 6 a.m., blah, blah, blah. The Tourism Bureau meetings don't show up, and we're funding it, so I just want to make sure that we're properly being exposed to the public, which was what our goal was with that funding. I'd like to put on the next agenda, on the February agenda, to make sure that we have a schedule for stakeholders meeting. That we put a schedule together for the stakeholders meeting. Also, we will have the mid-year budget review. And I'd like to also know what happened to the weekly executive director's reports. We discussed that they would be released to the transition team and that they would go from the transition team to the board, and I have not seen a single report. So if I get asked when I'm out in the community with friends or whatever, or colleagues, I don't know what's going on that week in terms of, and I'm a board member, so that's why they're asking me. So I'd like to get those weekly reports released to us. And the final thing was to release to the public the notice of when we'll be interviewing, when we determine that as a board for our new ED.
Karen.
Yeah, the only thing I had was a follow-up with the hiring subcommittee and the timeline, you know, firming up the timeline. So that's, I think, what Jane was, or Joan was just talking about.
She just said the hiring committee. John.
Oh, sorry. I'm just sitting to Joan's last point. I'm just contemplating that we have to put on the agenda for next month to find out why. The weekly thing, you know, I mean,
I was just going to address
some way
that.
We can just act on that.
I was just going to say, I was just about to comment on a couple of her things that we don't need, they're not going to need to be, but I was waiting to see if there's anything else.
And the other one was, I'd like to expand Joan's suggestion on the visitor center beyond signage. I mean, I'd like to start thinking about, you know, the visitor center next generation kind of thing. I was in there the other day talking to Ed, and he's got other ideas. I mean, he said signage was one, but he's got other ideas. And I'm not sure if the info board thing is working, you know. And we've got that back room, which was intended to be an office, that's kind of sitting unreally used right now, and that can expand the visitor center. We could put a TV back there, or have some video shows go, you know, I mean, we could, there's potential there that we're not using. So I'd like to expand this whole conversation from not just signage, but, you know, the next generation of.
So I'm thinking maybe we have like a visitor center committee, like a little subcommittee that could work with the visitor center. So that's a good suggestion. Any other future agenda items before I address the agenda items?
The only other thing is the sustainable funding that we'll
back on.
Continue to report on that. And I mean, I think it's probably, and we've got to talk about it, but I think it's probably going to lead into a suggestion of a special meeting after the next meeting that so we can all sit down and really give heavy consideration to it.
Right.
I think you brought a good point. I think we need to also look at this 850 Shasta office. You know, we kind of.
You said we were going to wait for the EDM. Yeah, I think we wanted to. Wait until the new hire? In our special closed session meeting, we had discussed that we would wait until we hired.
Well, you know, we have an office back there. The other person we had was not happy with the privacy and all that. But we still have an office in the visitor center, which is sitting empty, like you mentioned.
Yeah, but a new ED may come in and have the same thoughts that there's a privacy issue. So that's why I think our thought was in closed session that we would just wait until we got the new ED and then address 850 Shasta at that point. I do think you're right. I think there's a lot to be discussed on it.
Yeah, because also Karen was talking about subleasing,
right?
Issues like that. I mean, I don't want to be totally open about it, but. At this stage, but
right.
I think, yeah, we should.
We've got some options out there.
That's right, we have some option out there. I think we should look at that down the line, I guess.
Okay, so a couple of things. So just for future agenda items, I have the events committee. We've now got what we're calling a visitor center committee. The AGP scrolling, I will just reach out to AGB and talk to them. There's no reason. I'll ask Peter to maybe help me out here when we're done. So that does not need to be in an item. The stakeholders meeting, yes, should be a future agenda item. Mid-year budget review should also be one. The hiring committee would be a future agenda item, sustainable funding. As far as the weekly update reports, I will reach out. We have been receiving them every week. And just so everybody's known, I've asked John Myers to still sit in on those weekly updates. So as of now, if you look in Karen's contract, as the independent contractor, she answers to the transitions team, which is John, Nick, and myself. So the three of us have been meeting with her weekly. And I think we only missed 1 week with the holiday. We've met pretty much every single week except for 1 week, which was Christmas week. She has been sending the transitions team the weekly update, and so I apologize. I asked one of our members to send those out to the board, so I will make sure that if that member doesn't get them out, that I do that myself. So that is on the transitions team of not getting you guys the weekly update, not on anybody else. So I just want to make that clear. That's our bad as the transition team. Not they have been coming to us, so we have been getting them. So I'll make sure that we get those out, and maybe we'll go back because we've been getting them for the last couple of months. So we'll go back and look and see with that. So I think that's it. I don't have any other future agenda items, so I think I will look for a motion for adjournment.
So moved.
So moved.
Second. Karen.
Yes.
John.
Consensus.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any not in favor? Opposed?
Me.
None. John?
Yeah.
Okay. Motion carries for adjourned.
I see you back here in the
I know. Yeah. He sits here and just...
I'll drop you rations. I'll do an airdrop.
Yeah, you can come back after 12.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you, Johnny, for staying the whole time.